Disney Channel movie. Let's watch a Disney Channel movie. Everybody, welcome to D Comedy, our rewatch review, whatever you want to call it, podcast. This month, your D commentators are me, Lucas,
and me, Emma,
and we are here today to talk to you about the Disney Channel classic. Good luck, Charlie.
An epic universe at Universal Studios for.
I mean, we're going to do that.
The only thing that I've cared about for the past 2 weeks. I am hyper fixated.
You're not hyped to talk about Good Luck, Charlie.
No,
Christmas.
This was dog shit.
I thought it was
It's fine. I'm just never as
for the show ones. I didn't think
just
it was bad.
Feel, no, actually, I mean, Good Luck, Charlie is good. These actors are good, but it's just like the show ones never really feel like real movies. You know what
they
I mean?
They don't, but I think for a show one, I didn't think it was that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad, but I was just like, this doesn't feel like a movie to me. It felt like a long, weirdly shot episode of Good Luck, Charlie.
Yes, I do agree but I do appreciate
and just a complete rip off of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
To an extent, yes. And a lot of things.
They rip off
a lot of stuff, which I honestly kind of respect. But it is,
they're like, give them things to shit.
Yeah, well, yeah, whatever. But I do respect, but I am excited to slightly talk about it because it is, of course, the first Disney Channel original movie we've covered. That has a future president of the United States of America in it, aka Bridget Mendler, who I absolutely love.
Oh my god. Guys, I am such a Mendler head.
Like, she's amazing.
A Mendhead? Like, what are her fans called? I am obsessed with her. I think she is the coolest person, like, ever to walk the face of the earth. She, like, quietly, like, went to Harvard, like, now owns this, like, crazy, like, space tech company. She adopted a child. Like, she is, like, truly.
She's knocking it out of the park. And she has been since she was on Disney Channel. Like, so just real quick is to talk about Good Luck, Charlie.
CEO of a satellite data startup, Northwood Space.
It's crazy.
And she's a JD from Harvard Law School.
Yes.
God.
She's
MIT Media Lab. She's fucking crazy.
So Good Luck, Charlie, I am passively familiar with Good Luck, Charlie before this movie. It was definitely one of the later shows that I was caught. Definitely missed it. I caught a little bit of it, but the only reason I caught any of it is because it starred Bridget Mendler, and I loved Bridget Mendler as a kid because I loved her character on Wizards of Waverly Place, where she played Justin's vampire girlfriend for multiple episodes. And I don't think I ever saw her in Lemonade Mouth as well. Oh wait, we have talked about Lemonade Mouth and she's in that too.
Yeah,
but this is more her movie, especially because it is a show. I also 100%.
Like, what can she do? She can.
What can she do?
Can act. She can sing. Like her album that has Hurricane on it. Hey, he's got the wing on the Hurricane.
Well, then I'm sure you loved all of the songs in this movie.
No, so fucking bad. But she's an amazing singer and a songwriter. And there was a songwriter
who
went viral on TikTok. Did you see that TikTok?
No.
It was like a songwriter went viral on TikTok recently because he was getting interviewed. I forget the name of the songwriter, apologies, but they were like, who's like the best, like most natural, like person you worked with, collaborated? And like everyone thought he was gonna be like Justin, like big names. And he was like Bridget Mendler. Like, she's a genius.
Amazing.
And all the comments were like, vindication.
But I 100% forgot that Jason Dolley is one of the
oldest
friends. And I love Jason Dolley too. I totally remember my brain.
Everything about this show. The fact that it's like a vlog, like I was like, what is this? Like, yeah, what is the concept of Good Luck, Charlie?
The concept...
I will say, Charlie is really cute.
She's so freaking cute. That's one of my first notes is, like, the thing is, this movie, I already can tell, is not vibing with me 100%, but Charlie is adorable.
Yeah.
But the basic plot of Good Luck, Charlie
I want to just do one little aside on Bridget Mendler before we get into
Charlie. I'm always happy to talk about the end.
There's something really crazy that happened, and, like, I don't, again, a little too old for Good Luck, Charlie, so I did not watch the show as it was airing. She guested on Wizards of Waverly Place, and I know her mostly from her amazing music career as the songstress of our generation, singer of things like her.
Just the voice of the generation, you can say it. Yeah. I'm talking about the name.
But she dated her co-star from Good Luck, Charlie, whose name I believe is Shane Harper. Sorry to this man. I've never seen this man in anything.
He plays the hot guy in the show that she likes. Is that, like, I don't know who that would be.
I don't know who the fuck he is in the show. All I know is that there was some crazy drama where they dated, and she's not married to him or anything like that, but she dated him. And then her best friend, I guess, was also on Good Luck, Charlie, in like a bit part. Female best friend.
The only best friend is the one we see briefly in this movie.
This I all saw on TikTok, and I don't know any of these people's names or the details, but basically it was like they would all like be Instagramming together, like Bridget, the boyfriend, and the girl, and they were all like three friends, but like this was Bridget's best friend and her boyfriend.
I feel like I see where this is going.
And then Bridget and the boyfriend broke up, and then the friend and the boyfriend started dating.
Oh, okay, that was close to where I thought it was that they were cheating with each other.
Well, that's what people think. Like, that's like they don't know what happened because Bridget is famously private. She's too classy to say anything about it.
She's too classy
to say anything. But they were like, that is really suspicious. suspicious if they were like all that close and then they started dating immediately after. If anybody has the full story on that or the tea, please tweet at me because I would like to know what happened.
Are they still best friends?
No.
Okay. So it's
out of with both of them.
Interesting. Okay. But she's a classy lady. She wouldn't air out her dirty laundry like that if she could avoid it. But the basic gist of her platform, which is Good Luck Charlie, is that it's this, you know, it's a classic Disney Channel, big dysfunctional kind of family. Bridget Mendler, who in a really confusing move is not the oldest child.
Wait, Jason Dolly?
Dolly is the oldest.
Why would that be the choice?
I don't know why that was the choice.
She also looks older.
She looks older and exudes the most adult eldest energy daughter. Out of it. But according to my memory and research.
Why is
research,
the younger daughter making the vlog?
That's a great, well, it's her
I
passion.
I thought she was just wanting to like give her sister memories of
it's
her
also growing. That.
That feels like a piece that they've left out. Like they just started forgetting about the videographer.
Well, it's just a narrative device for her to, at the end of every episode, she's like, oh, well, if you ever
into a digital camera. Yeah, I'm like, is that recording a video?
Yes, that's the whole thing, is that she's making little things to talk to.
I know, but
to
it looks like a point-and-shoot click digital camera.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Video camera.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, well, it looks awful for that, for the 8 year that this came out or was made. But yeah, the whole point is she's making little videos to leave to her sister Charlie to like help her navigate growing up. I believe it's because Charlie is the only other girl in the family and it's all boys otherwise.
Yeah, I've got some notes for those two boys.
For
the goon squad.
But they end every episode by just saying, oh man, if you ever let a cow into your house, well, good luck, Charlie. But yeah, Jason Dolly's the brother, and
he's
then,
a fucking idiot.
Yeah, that's his.
He's like the Joey Tribbiani.
We've always said for some reason they demand to cast Jason Dolly as either an idiot or a loser, and this one he's both.
Both.
He's basically both.
But he's also like hot.
Yeah, he's cool and hot. We've never understood. The only time that's not true is Cory in the House. He's stupid in that, yeah, but he is cool.
He is cool. Wait. Can I also go back to where if we're talking about the cast here? Dolly's the oldest brother, apparently.
Yeah.
Is this the mom that's MAGA and insane?
She's anti-vax. I don't know about her.
I think that's all part of the same.
It's the lady from Bad Hair Day who we hated already.
Yeah.
She is slightly better in this because she plays like the mom. Like the mom. She has better mom energy than she did like a weird cop energy.
I like this character.
I don't know. She does get a little annoying. Yes. She grates me a little, but not. But she has some really good moments
and
that gets some laughs.
And I kind of remember from when I did see a few episodes of Good Luck Charlie, I remember being like, I like these parents. They are like good actors.
I do really like the dad. The dad is a classic fun. Like he gives me the same like energy as the dad of Wizards of Waverly Place, where like he's goofy, but you can tell he's got a good heart and like
I liked him a lot,
and he's a good guy. Like
and
he's
this
great.
Show was set in Denver apparently.
I did not remember. I don't know if that was established before this movie, but yeah, they're supposed to live in Denver.
Literally, my first note is like I forgot Jason Dolly was in
the
show.
Yeah, sure. And then there's a little brother who's like
fucking sucks.
Yeah, and he's kind of like Matt from Lizzie McGuire, where he's
like he's also
conniving
like,
and why, knows technology.
Again, I don't know what was happening in this pitch room, but like just combine the brother characters. Why do you need to have two brothers?
Well, I think it's because it's supposed to fuel that like, oh, I'm the only girl, and now we have Charlie, and like I won't be around to teach Charlie how to be.
Well,
have
what
be a
you
girl
end up with is two like completely pointless characters who have like one character trait, and I hate this third brother. I'm sorry to him. Sorry to this man. I think he is awful to watch. Awful to engage with.
His contributions to this movie are the worst part of
like,
it.
Like truly the worst part of it.
Jason Dolly has like nothing to do in this
movie. Nothing to do.
And like it's
and
all
he's
on
a delightful actor that I've always wanted to see more of.
It's all in the little brother and all of the stuff that they give him to work with, which are gags, I guess.
You would also think if you're writing the script as like the screenwriter, you need to pair up the people to give them each an arc. Basically for the script, obviously Teddy is with the mom.
Yeah.
The dad is his conflicts with the grandma. And it's like, why don't Dolly and the other brother have more of a like two-person storyline?
Well, because I actually think, this is one of the reasons I actually liked this movie. I think that the movie gains a lot by focusing like 80% on Teddy and the mom.
Yeah.
Like the fact that it has a
because every time it flips like the fucking brothers, I'm like, get me out.
But it has
here.
Like a largely straightforward narrative and that's the point. Until like it reaches like the third act, then they give the brothers and the dad something to do.
Out of completely nowhere.
And it doesn't work, but it doesn't drag the movie down
with
it.
It does. It does.
Well, it doesn't drag the whole movie down.
It sucks.
It drags the movie down,
I literally stopped taking
down.
Notes at that part. I was like,
yeah,
I'm
it's too much. But let's hop into it. What's better than talking about a Christmas movie in April?
Because of course, this opens with a banger Bridget Mendler track.
I don't know why they didn't open on a Christmas song, for the record. But no, it's pretty good. It's just it's a map because they're going on a trip, as in like most Disney Channel original movie based on shows.
They have to go somewhere else. I think that is because when I watch this first scene, it is always so weird when they take the sitcom format shows and shoot them in higher def.
Yes, well, that's what we said. Well, it's also the sets are not built
so
to be shot because they're shot shot for the four camera or whatever. You only see them very briefly. So we see the house very briefly. In the Wizard of Waverly Place, we saw the sandwich shop very briefly. And then I think we did see most of the house in Even Stevens. Even Stevens is kind of the exception.
But I was like, this looks
Jed Jackson
so...
is the only one that had the stones to stay in the setting.
It looks
most
so
of the
bonkers in that.
It looks weird. High
def format.
It just really sells how fake it all is the problem.
Yeah, and it also just, it has that thing where it looks, the colors look more muted. Like, it looks more like grim. Like, it feels like a gritty reboot of Good Dog Charlie.
Yeah.
And Good Dog Charlie.
Directed by Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
But it is Christmas time. What is their last name?
Duncans,
thank you.
How the fuck did I know?
Yeah, that was good. I don't remember. The Duncan family are going to Palm Springs to visit the mom's parents who just got a new condo there. They're retired.
Do you know if these are characters that I've ever met before?
I thought you were going to say something else. I don't know about that, but I was like, do you know if those are like notable actors in any way, shape, or form? Because they looked kind of familiar. No, I thought maybe it was like they got out of Lark or whatever. I don't know. No, I have no clue. I did not watch enough of Good Luck Charlie. I barely knew enough of Good Luck Charlie.
It just felt like they were dropping a lot of lore really quickly. And I was like, I feel like these are not existing characters. He's like, your mom's mom never thought I was good enough for her. And like, blah, blah, blah. We've never visited before. And I'm like, oh, we're laying down a lot of tracks. So I'm assuming we probably have maybe not seen these people.
I have a lot to say about one of those tracks with the grandma. It is truly an unforgivable sin of this film, in my opinion.
Okay.
It's going to be a while, but we'll get there. But the mom is freaking out because she's so nervous about traveling and going with
the mom's having a sweaty panic attack about like missing Christian traditions. And like, I immediately know the mom is hiding something. And I couldn't decide.
I didn't get it for a while.
Well, that's because men are obtuse.
I got it before the movie revealed it.
A woman's intuition. I knew immediately, Luke.
No, I didn't. I
knew the second the star thing started happening. When the second she said the littlest Duncan in the star, I was like, she's pregnant.
Okay, we're just dropping that here.
Women, it couldn't be more obvious.
Once I knew that.
When did you figure it out? Knucklehead?
I have it in my notes somewhere. It was before they obviously tell you, and it was before she orders all the food to eat. And because I remember thinking, it was like, oh, this is the most obvious giveaway.
The vomiting was so
The vomiting, that's what it was. Yep, that is what it was. That was where I got there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they do an admirable effort for it being kind of hidden that the mom's pregnant. And that's something I did want to say to this movie's credit, as I think that is a bold move to do such a shake-up to the show in the movie.
I know, but I
like, the kid
think,
is
like,
in, like, the next season or whatever.
I was just thinking, like, I guess it is a movie for kids, but I'm like, as a kid, probably the one sign of pregnancy that I knew as a child was that the women get sick. Because it's like, they always quote it on TV where they're like, oh, and they run to the bathroom, and then that's how it's on Friends and wherever.
But it's supposed to be that she's motion sick because they're in a bus.
That's not what it is, though. She's pregnant!
I know, but I'm saying there is an alternate explanation, but like, when you think about it, it's like, wait, she was being weird earlier, and she's getting sick, and she has like mood swings.
I knew the
like,
second she talked about the star tradition and it being the littlest Duncan, I was like, oh, she's stressed about this because Charlie is no longer going to be the littlest Duncan and she's pregnant.
Correct. You got it in one, Emma. I don't know how much you want
women's
me.
Women's intuition.
Okay.
Also, her rack was huge. Like, maybe she is really pregnant. She walked in the little brother's room and I was like, look at those yabos.
I have no comment on this anti-vaxxer's rack.
Real mommy milk, you know what I mean?
Jesus Christ. Okay.
anti-vaxxer.
We're back. I thought that and I didn't say it I didn't think it was anything.
And I deed off.
This is what happens when we don't record for like 4 months, is that Emma just gets all of these things built up. But the dad comes in and he's bought this special seat, which they will overuse it for gags. Also, I don't think you need to bring a child seat on the airplane.
You don't.
She's a lap child.
She's like airplane seat. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like,
man?
Well, I understand for a
you
baby.
You don't think you can put a seat on an airplane. The child either has to be in the plane's restraints or on your lap.
Well, I think if there's a baby, you can maybe put it in like one of those. I feel like you maybe could. I don't think they expect you to hold your baby for the whole flight.
They do.
Really? Well, I know lap children are a thing. That's what I'm saying, is she would be a lap child. But it's an airplane seat, a car seat, and a stroller, and he got it for $30. Because I do remember this guy's like really cheap or whatever. Classic, you know, Disney Channel dad trait.
They give the vibe of being broke also.
I think the dad runs an exterminator
and
business.
I'm like, maybe you guys should not be having them.
One of my notes is these people have too many kids and that problem is not going to go away, as we just discussed. But then who follows suit after that? There's also a dumb running joke about an electronic Santa outside, because they're
that
like,
that was so fucking annoying.
And it didn't make any sense because they said it was like their neighbors, but it happens whenever someone comes in the front door. I don't know, maybe they live in a duplex or something.
I do love this dad.
But oh yeah, just Dolly comes in or whatever, and then he just is like excited to go to Palm Springs. Then her friend,
no arc in the movie except for being excited to go to Palm Springs
and then getting his sunburn. No, that's it. Those are the two. That's it. That's all of it. That's all he got. Really, oh, and being horny.
The writer, but like then not getting,
but not
laid.
Really caring. No.
Oh, at the end he gets laid by that.
At the end he gets like a smile from some lady.
No, from sexy daughter Claus. She's about to see that.
The ending of this movie is fucking weird. It's so weird.
Okay, wait. Also, so who is this random friend that comes?
That's her best friend. Yeah, that's her friend. I did remember. That's what I'm saying. I watched enough of the show to remember her friend.
Pretty glad she wasn't in the movie. She was grating.
Yeah, I mean, she's fine from what I recall. Her presence wasn't as mixed as much as like Harper on Wizards of Waverly Place. Like, she's not like that.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah, that was rough. But also, this family has too many characters already.
I've already forgot a brother. I didn't even remember that there was one brother.
Yeah.
And we're adding two grandparents. I'm like, get this friend out of here. We're at capacity. And the mom's pregnant. We're adding another.
Literally, in the next
call sheet for this thing must be a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, call sheet fetus.
Gabe sucks was my next note.
He does. Well,
I fucking hate
it. So hang on, we're gonna cut up to Gabe in a second. Because the friend just literally is here to remind Teddy that they're going to they want to go on this spring break thing, and she hasn't gotten permission from
her
parents.
To her aunt's condo in Florida. Crazy.
I know, out of here. But apparently everyone in this family freaking loves condos. But Teddy would be going by herself, and she hasn't gotten permission for it, and she's like, oh, well, you gotta book the tickets, Ted.
How old is she? Isn't she like 18?
I think she's 17, 18. I mean, it's Bridget Mendler, and she looks
and
like...
she's like 17.
Bridget Mendler looks like she's in her late 20s in this show. Like,
but she...
Or mid-20s. Yeah. But I think she's supposed to be like a high school senior or whatever. Like, if any... like,
yeah.
I'm not sure exactly,
she's
but
she's... not asking to go to like Puerto Vallarta.
No.
On a bus with a bunch of college kids. Like, she's going to like an aunt's condo. I was like, these parents...
I think they also want to go...
Usually now when I watch these movies, just for context, like, because I'm now in my early 30s, I'm like, I'm siding with the parents more frequently than the kids. I'm like, these kids are being dumb. And I'm like, number one, like, isn't the whole part of like Good Luck Charlie is that like Bridget Mendler's like insanely responsible and adult? Like,
yes.
She's like holding this family together. Mm-hmm. And number
as
two,
the middle child
as,
does.
Fucking Christ. And also, I'm like, she's old enough to go on this trip. That sounds incredibly tame. So I didn't understand any of this.
Wait, don't they want to go to a concert or something?
No, they were literally going to go to the
beach.
That's
just the beach? Okay, fair enough. Well, no, it's just the mom is clingy, and she, especially right now, is really in her feelings about, you know, her family. But
Bridget Mendler doesn't know that, so she's like, why are you guys being so fucking nuts?
Yeah, because she asks the dad while the dad's trying to figure out the new car seat or whatever. Being like, hey, so what's up with mom? And he's like, oh, you know, she's not pregnant. She's definitely all messed up about going to this condo for the first time because, like, her mom kind of hates me. And, like, I really...
thinks I'm broke.
Yeah, and I'm really trying to make an impression this year. And she's like, you've been spending Christmas with grandma for 20 years. And he's like, but I think this is my year.
I loved that.
That was a good one. Oh, also to set it up is the mom was talking to her mom on the phone and said, you need to toddler-proof...
Baby-proof
the house. Anything
she
breakable needs to be 4 feet
off the ground. She's in that age
where
it's, like, very real. I remember when our cousins were like too, like, mm-hmm. Everything you pick up they're throwing, like,
yeah.
It's like it's
for
they're
sure.
Pulling it apart, and so they're like anything breakable, and also like cabinets and stuff she's gonna get
yes.
into all that,
because she tries to show baby Charlie the star that she then needs to go on top of the tree and be like, oh, Charlie cares about this so much that her dad is gonna pick her up, she's gonna put the star on top of the tree, and then Charlie tries to eat it, which is cute, and then just like throws it on the ground. None of the other kids know what she's talking about, so she goes up to Gabe, who's playing a video game in his room.
Everything with Gabe, I'm like, cut this fucking scene.
The sad thing is you can't. Just a brief foreshadow. And I thought of this while I was coming over today. Emma, I am prepared to send you all the money that I currently have sitting in my Venmo wallet.
I know what you're going to ask me. What the name of this game is?
No, not even that. Now I know you're not going to know the answer to this. The question was, what is the item that Gabe wants from this game and then he obtains at the end and tries to bring into the carry-out? Because they say it 10 million times.
And Lucas, every single time. It's almost like when like things are at a volume you can't hear. Like when something is that fucking dumb and like I don't care about it that much, I don't even hear it. Like I didn't even hear it once. The Righteous Gemstone? Like I don't
know. Okay, I will get... Okay.
It's a gemstone?
It is the stone of...
Obsidian.
No. It's the stone of Mitrios.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah,
what is the name of the game?
It's like Galaxy Battle or some
fuck
bullshit.
Off.
I don't care. Galaxy of Death, I think.
We are like actually bombarded with useless fucking info about the whole movie, which then of course does become stupidly relevant.
I knew it was going to be.
The name of this game, the guy who made it, the company that he works for. I was like, what the fuck is this?
No, I knew this was all going to become very important because they just keep hammering it away into your brain.
Those were the times when I looked at my phone.
Yeah, no, 100%. once I immediately tagged what they were doing, I clocked out. But she's just trying to blackmail Gabe to be like, hey, I need you to pretend like you really care about this tradition. And that way, I won't get mad at you for opening your Christmas gift early and playing, yeah, I think it's Galaxy of Death 2. And he's like, well, can I bring my game console to grandma's? And she goes, no. And he's like, got it. She goes back downstairs and like, Gabe cares about this so much and you're all terrible for not caring. Blah. And then I think we pretty much do a hard cut to the airport.
Yeah.
And we get going. Teddy is
Was that an actual airport? That looks like a pretty legit set.
I'm sure it was a small airport somewhere.
It was either like a small regional airport or it was like a real airport, but it was like a side. Like it wasn't actually TSA. But I was like, this looks like not like a set. I was trying to figure out where they filmed it. Maybe like a convention center. But I was like, good job.
No, it looks pretty good. I'll give you that. It looked like a small. I mean, definitely didn't look like the Denver airport.
No, because the Denver airport's also a portal to hell.
Yeah, it's massive.
Also, Google portal to hell Denver airport. You're going to get some weird YouTube videos. Oh, okay. You heard all the conspiracy theories?
No, I thought you were just being.
No, there's like.
Because I was going to say, I actually like the Denver airport fine.
Okay, no, you need to Google this now tonight when you go home. There's like crazy conspiracy theories about the Denver airport and like the art in it and stuff like that and about like the people that created it. Like, there's one of the theories is that it's like a nuclear fallout shelter.
I don't know if we should be spreading conspiracy theories.
Well, you know what?
If they're funny internet conspiracy theories, I'm open to it. But if they're people point, actually being
at
like...
At this point, this country isn't going to exist in 6 months. Who cares? No one's minding the store.
Anyway, going back to the actual airport, Teddy's still trying to convince her parents to let her go on this thing. I think she did ask the mom at the house, and the mom was like, no, you're a child, blah. You're not responsible enough to do that by yourself. And she's at the airport like, oh, I'm responsible enough to watch your child. Why can't I go? And then the mom is just like, oh, you know what? I'm done talking about this. Dad, whatever your name is.
I don't know what his name is.
Neither did the dad.
Bob?
I think it is Bob, maybe. Bob, Dad, whatever, you deal with your daughter. And he says, okay, I'll tell you what, Teddy. You can prove yourself to be responsible enough to go on this trip if you can buy the ticket yourself. And she's like, but I have to buy it in a week. And then he goes, welcome to being an adult. Great, I handled it. Now we get into the dumbest, I shouldn't say the dumbest Gabe thing in the whole movie, but it is a really dumb
thing. I mean, that's a real race to the bottom.
It is. So Gabe is trying to smuggle his game system onto the plane with him because his mom was checking his luggage. So he has it like under his clothing.
Like, and, look at this statue. Oh my God. Why is that at a fucking airport?
Is it in the airport or is it outside?
It's outside.
I don't know.
And I think it's the statue of the Knot of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Oh my God.
We should do a podcast on
No, this. We're not doing
it. It's underground tunnels have secret bunkers.
Okay.
Because there's a large network of underground tunnels because you know how the trains connect you from the different terminals?
Mm-hmm.
So there are those tunnels and they believe that there are like underground bunkers possibly built or even hiding lizard people or aliens.
Okay, no, now you lost me.
And it will serve
no.
as a safe space for the world's elite during the apocalypse.
You didn't have me, but now you've lost me even more.
I don't feel like
how many Wikipedia deep dives have you done on this?
A lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Keep in mind, Emma watched this movie, can't remember like hardly anything about it, but then the Denver airport gets mentioned and then I've got all of these things locked in, baby. But so my point is, Gabe didn't realize that there are metal detectors when you get on.
That's the thing. I'm like, if we're going to characterize like one of the brothers as a fucking moron and one of the brothers as like a little evil genius.
Yeah, like Lizard
Wire. Can you make the evil genius one not a fucking moron?
Yeah.
Like, why does he not know that he's going to have to walk? He's like, metal detectors? I'm like, have you ever been on a plane?
Because we know Charlie's never been on a plane, but you must have been.
Well, Charlie's won!
Precisely, Emma.
Also, you're on the fucking internet all day, loser. Maybe you Google what happens before you get on a plane. If you've never been on one, go watch your YouTube walk.
Yeah, for sure. YouTube. Well, I mean, that would be difficult because you couldn't bring the camera through the metal detector, Emma. Think about it. But also, this is not what you should be showing children, that if you walk through the metal detector and you get detected metal, that like the entire airport security team swarms you and is like, red alert, take them down, or whatever.
Well, I think that's what they want to show because they want to scare kids from strapping metal to their bodies.
Well, yeah, I'm not even thinking, because kids wouldn't do that naturally, but I think kids might, like, I don't know, leave a paperclip in their pocket or whatever.
I think there's good fear of God in children. They're not scared enough these days.
But then he also duct taped a controller onto Jason Dolly.
I haven't been on this podcast in so long. I also think we need to talk about Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
We'll do the theme park stuff at the end, but let's get through this movie first. And so this is also the first time we get to look at his video game console, and it's just a Wii.
Yeah.
It's a Wii that they printed out.
With, like, other controllers, though. Wii controllers.
I didn't want to bring up the controller because I knew Emma wouldn't care about it. The controllers are so... It's this weird... It looks like the controller you would give a toddler.
Like a massive
purple thing. It's awful. But no, the Z Station, I think it's called, is literally a Wii that they printed out the word Z Station on a piece of paper and then taped it to the side.
Wasn't good enough.
And then
that's
said,
about as much of an attention
good
as I paid to it.
As gold,
they
baby.
Said, everybody take lunch.
We got it.
So because of this literal TSA incident, he gets his console taken.
Yes, which is not how that works.
Which you think, exactly. But you could also think that like this could improve for a problem for him. Like, it doesn't immediately solve him.
The problem that it creates is that now they're late for their flight. So they have to steal the Home Alone running through the airport to run
Rudolph.
Yes, absolutely.
And to me, I'm like, I like that's an homage to Home Alone, obviously, unless like, but if you're gonna do it, gotta do it at O'Hare International, baby. Mm. I don't want to see that anywhere else, except for O'Hare International.
That is our, that's our sequence as Chicagoans.
That is, I don't like it not there. That was my big note for it. It doesn't hit the same.
But they run to the terminal and get their tickets.
Also, I like that the stroller thing doesn't work, so Bob's gotta pull up the back and he has her like in a little sling.
Yeah, he's like, we're going for a sleigh ride, and he like shows her ride. So it's cute. Very funny. And this movie did get some good laughs out of it, by the way, and one was here where like they all run up and give their tickets to the lady, which is not how getting on an airplane works. You need to scan those things. And then
they
Bob
just throw them at that.
Yeah, moment. And then Bob just like does a dive over the seats, being like, wait, I'm here, and then just lands dramatically, and the gate people are just like, sir, you didn't, we saw you coming. Yeah. You didn't need to do that. And so I love the deadpanness. But then he pulls out a dollar and it's like, can I buy a headset? I'm like, you don't do that at the gate. Terminal.
I hope his family's ever been on a plane.
Also, this is a really short flight. You're going Denver to Palm Springs. That's not that far, number one.
You're
going to
be there in 2 hours.
And you're incredibly cheap, is my understanding. So why would you waste money on a headset?
I don't think this family's ever been on a plane before, which is only validated by the next thing that happens. We miss the thing as they're walking through the airport. Teddy is trying to get the spring break thing through her parents, and they're like, you're too young.
You mean this thing that I explained already about that she has to earn the money? Okay, you were too deep in the Denver conspiracy. Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, the next thing that happens is they get on the fucking plane, and they do the thing that they have.
Some classic car seat gags.
And also, they make it, I don't know when they make the joke, is it this or the next time? They're like, do you know our policy of always overselling
seats? Yeah, that's the second one, yeah.
Which is so funny, because so true.
Yeah, for sure.
There's an SNL skit that has a similar joke.
I was just going to say.
It's one of my favorite SNL jokes, where they're pretending to be the people at the gate, and they're like, we've oversold this flight for some godforsaken reason, and we're looking for someone to come and volunteer to take the next flight out tomorrow, and you get a free ticket, but you also must come to desk and explain us why your lifestyle allows this. Because I'm always like, who the fuck is doing that? Like, who can just change the plans like that? Okay, but they make the announcement that if you get off a plane right now,
you get a free ticket
anywhere. And she's like, Teddy grabs a bag, she's like, great, problem solved, I'll get the next flight out, I'll be a few hours behind you.
And then I've got my ticket to Florida.
To this I say, before anything even happened, I was like, this is such a fucking rookie mistake, this is not going to work out. For people who do not live in California, Palm Springs is an incredibly small regional airport. I used to fly in and out of there once a year from New York to Palm Springs. I would assume there's more flights from like Denver and more local cities, but truly the New York to Palm Springs, like there was one per day. Sometimes only one every other day.
And this is also Christmas.
And if you missed that flight, you were fucked. So that's the first layer where I'm like, there's not going to be a flight to Palm Springs in 3 hours. It's not fucking Los Angeles. It's a tiny airport that they have only limited gates and very few planes fly in and out of. I know I'm getting too granular with this, but it drove me nuts.
I didn't really expect you to go deep into the Palm Springs airport specifically. Also, how many conspiracy theories are there about the Palm Springs?
It's a beautiful airport. It's mostly outdoors. Okay. But the second layer of it is I go, it's fucking Christmas. Every other flight,
it's like 2 days before Christmas, 48 hours.
It's going to be full.
Yeah.
And at Christmas, every flight is full. What do you mean you're going to hop on the next flight? The next available flight is not going to be full after Christmas.
Precisely that, yeah. Which I also think that they shouldn't allow that. Like, I don't think the airline should offer that if the next flight is like 3 days from now.
Well, they usually do say when they're offering this, they didn't do it here for a dramatic reveal effect. When they're offering, they usually will say, we'll get you on the next flight out, which is Tuesday at 7 or tonight at 10. Like, they'll tell you what your options are before you agree to it and are locked in.
And yeah, and if it is like a long period, I know they'll like give you a hotel room at the airport or whatever kind of a thing, but a full 3 days at the airport, like what?
Well, you would go home.
I know, but not everybody is
is
from Denver.
But the mom gets off with her because she's like, I can't let her go by herself, obviously. The dad's like not paying attention. And so the mom runs off with her. Mm-hmm. They get to the desk. The woman tells these two fucking idiots everything that I just told you about it. Christmas, there's no available flights, and they're absolutely...
Emma was really ahead of the curve on this movie.
I knew exactly how this was going to go down. And then the mom gets like irrationally angry with the woman because she's pregnant, and they get like kicked out of the airport because she like hits her in the face.
No, she just like flips out on her, basically.
No, but then she's like, no, they're like, you can't hit people. And she goes, I didn't hit her, I was gesturing for emphasis.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think we see her hit her, but they mention it as they're getting dragged out. And God, I wish that was enough to get you thrown out of an airport, is just flipping out on a service worker.
Not these days, partner. So then Teddy's like, I've got a plan, we're gonna take a bus. Question, how did they get to the fucking airport?
I assume they drove their car and long-term parked it.
Why do they not take that
That's
fucking car?
That's a great point, Emma. That's a really good point. This would have been...
would be faster than a
this
bus.
This would have been pre-Uber, right?
I think it's... Is it like 2015? I thought this movie was like 2015.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't. So it is Uber. No, yeah, maybe.
Because Uber started like my sophomore year of college, which was like 2013.
I guess Uber would have maybe been around. I don't know if anyone has a
but
smartphone.
But you're not going to Uber to Palm Springs.
No, but I was about to get to the airport. But then you just take an Uber back to your house and get the car. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, no. Why Why didn't you?
That's a massive plot hole in this film.
Because a car would be faster than a bus. Those buses drive very slowly.
Right, and they make other stops. Yes. And yeah, no, that's a great point. I didn't think about that at all.
My only thought is possibly that Bob has the keys.
Oh, that would make sense. That would
be the only thing that it would make sense.
But then go back to your house, get a spare. Assuming that you would have a spare key. Yeah.
Who doesn't have a spare key?
I know.
I mean, these fuckers aren't great at planning. They have too many hijinks.
Well, yeah, these people really live in the moment. They're not really.
So they board a Greyhound bus, but they can't call it Greyhound because they get sued. She starts filming her vlog again for Charlie.
But why? This was my question. Why does she film stuff for Charlie that Charlie's not there for?
I don't know.
Because isn't the whole point that Charlie can like remember and learn stuff from when she was a kid? I don't know.
And the boys land in Palm Springs.
Yeah, we meet the grandparents.
And they roll up in a sick vintage car.
Yeah, it's a really cool car. Yeah. It has a name that I forget. I'm going to be fully honest with you guys. I watched this like 3 weeks ago and I've reached the point of stuff where I can kind of only vaguely remember what happens, but I remember it's a pretty cool car. The grandpa is super cool. He has a weird bit where he offers you a mint every time.
I kind of like this mint.
I kind of like the mint at work. It feels like a grandpa thing.
It's just like if any emotion, anything bad, it's like one mint.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. Feels like a grandpa quirk.
For sure, I agree. And then the grandma is like super into Charlie, loves her, but then super cool to Bob, which is great. And then they get picked up to go to the condo, basically. I think they just explain that Teddy and the mom are going to be late. And that's the majority of the scenes with the grandparents is not that important because the crux of this movie is Teddy and the mom.
Who are angry with each other for various reasons. I think Teddy's angry about the spring break thing. I think the mom is angry with Teddy for now fucking up her Christmas, as I obviously would be as well, for Teddy getting off the plane without it, like, thinking this through. They're on the bus now and the mom starts violently throwing up in the bathroom.
I do want to shout out there's a guy with a chicken on the bus.
Who's Cockney?
I had Australian.
No, he's doing a full Cockney.
But it really adds something to it, in my opinion.
I was like, he made a choice today. Mm-hmm. He's like, I've got one line and I'm going to make it count.
Here, audience, I'll put in his lines. You decide whether it's Cockney or Australian.
Get her away from more chickens.
I literally wrote down Cockney.
Make the call. Let us know.
But whatever it is, I know that it was a strong choice.
It was a strong choice, but I think
it's not as natural.
That adds to the weirdness because the whole bus is supposed to be like gross and cramped and like, you know, all the stereotypes about traveling on a bus. So yeah, I guess they aren't ripping off planes, trains, and automobiles because they never get on a plane.
It's a lot.
They also never take a train.
Wow, isn't there like...
No, there's a train station somewhere at some point.
If only this country had high-speed rail. Anyway, I do like at the grandma's house, the gag of like she's asked her to baby proof and every single thing is crystal and
is massively
around.
Breakable
and that's such a classic like mom boomer mom grandma thing to be like, oh my god, it's fine, dude, just tell her not to play with them. And the parents are like, are you fucking high? When was the last time you had a child in your house? Like,
and okay, you know what, I'm just gonna talk about it here because it truly is the most upsetting thing in the world to me, is because the whole time we're not gonna keep cutting back and going over all the shit that's happening. It's pointless up until a point. So it becomes a running gag that Bob is watching Charlie and he's doing his best to stop her from breaking things, but like the grandma always like catches, she always blames him, never Charlie. And he's like, because she's like, yeah, just tell her no, it's not a big deal, just watch her like a hawk, blah 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 blah. And she is basically like lording over him that she's such a better parent than he is, kind of a thing. And then so at the end she has to take sole custody of Charlie while the dad goes on a dumb adventure that we'll get to, and there's no comeuppance of like, oh my god, Bob, you were right, she broke everything.
Lucas, the way I didn't even realize that. They just like forget to put
that
in.
They just didn't close the loop. And it's so, because obviously.
Wouldn't the end be like her being like, oh my god, it was so hard.
It was so hard. Yeah, you're an amazing dad. I can't, like, no, it just isn't addressed that she breaks everything.
I was too distracted by Jason Daly, I fucking daughter claws. They didn't like.
I have some other things to say, but I'm crazy the ending. But like that, I'm mentioning now because that is what we cut back to the house for. Multiple times. Is Charlie being like breaking stuff, and they just,
it's like Charlie as Godzilla, like Bob dropped the diamond over the couch to save the glass reindeer, like that. We keep going
and they just never pay it off. It just kind of stops at a certain point.
I didn't even notice that.
It drove me insane.
But anyway, on the bus the mom is like projectile vomiting and hogging the bathroom, which is really tough on a coach bus like that. And they get kicked off because it's like the passengers don't want to ride with you.
Which again, I wish that were a real thing.
Yeah,
that you could get kicked off for being too gross on public transportation. Yeah, well, not public transportation.
As someone who's ridden the MTA for a good chunk of their life, that's not a rule.
That's not how that works. There is like a good shot of like the bus like, driver like cringing inside. It was a lot.
PTSD flashbacks. When I was in college, we used to do this thing where we would take buses, like coach buses like that, and drive them from Chicago to the Kentucky Derby. Don't ask me why we did this. It seemed like a great idea at the time. And when I tell you, it was like
of all the ideas you had in college, that's not one of your worst.
Just wait to the end. So it's like four coach buses of kids. So it's like hundreds of kids. And the way that this worked is like you would just binge drink on these buses all the way down to Kentucky for like 7 hours. And then they would dump you at like a hotel and you would sleep for a little bit. You'd go to the Kentucky Derby the next day. After the Kentucky Derby, they board you onto the buses in the parking lot of the Kentucky Derby and they drive you straight back to Chicago. After you have been drinking more conservatively 24 hours
straight. Just pounding mint juleps.
In the hot sun. Yeah. In the bourbon in the hot sun. So you can only imagine the crime scene that those bathrooms on the buses look like on the way back. And you are all trapped in them and they smell so terrible because they like have just been filling up for the past day and a half. And on one of the trips back, the toilet fucking overflowed.
Oh,
and there was
legitimately
like waste running into the aisles. Oh. It was Lucas, we were trapped on this bus for, I shit you not, 4 more hours. And everyone had to put their bags in their lap and pull their legs up. And the whole, I still think about it. It haunts me.
Can I just ask a question that I don't think you can really answer in words? What did it smell like?
You don't want to know.
Because that's the worst part to me is being trapped with the smell in a slow moving bus across the
sloshing around. And I want to add to that we also had purchased before that overflow. We had purchased Doritos Locos Tacos.
Oh no!
And so those were rotting and going stale in the seat behind us. We were trapped. I just had my head out the window like a dog for like 4 hours.
Oh, I feel like I'm sick now.
Yeah,
oh,
but that's man. Everyone. I thought of that immediately when she was puking on that much in the bathroom.
Yeah. I don't know if I can come back from that. So they get kicked off the bus and then like get told that there's like a place where you can rent a car like 7 miles up the hill in this random nowhere town that they've been left. And so they have to hike up the hill. The mom starts having like crazy mood swings at Teddy or whatever. This was another tip off after the vomiting. Then and at this point, I was like, oh, she's
pregnant. I was like, yeah, she's hormonal.
Yeah, she's pregnant. We do have to cut back to the boys for a second because Gabe is lamenting that he can't play his video game because it got confiscated by the TSA. And then he finds out that his grandpa has a Wii because he can play like but he can play what is basically Wii Golf or whatever. And so he does have one, so Gabe gets to play his game. The grandpa.
That's what I meant about this being solved. Like I was like, okay, so like he has to play the game.
But then the grandpa gets addicted to playing the game over the course of the next couple cuts.
Which is like their stupid
name. But it doesn't matter. Nothing.
That doesn't pay
off. It doesn't do anything other than to continue to remind us that the game exists.
If the grandpa then came in and like save the day at the end. I don't know why
that would have been so good if like like something like that.
Like what, like if he got really good at the game. He has the plan that saves them.
Something like that, but he just disappeared. It's stupid. But so then Teddy and the mom walk to this like small garage.
I also said like if I was Teddy, I would maybe be apologizing a lot more. Like she really did fuck up.
She did. I mean,
I know she doesn't know her mom is pregnant yet, but like this pregnant woman is now like hiking miles in like a wedge heel like because of your stupidity. Like I am a people pleaser. And I'd be like, I'm sorry. Like, you had a bad idea.
Yeah, well, I think it's the fact that the movie kind of positions it as being like what you said, they didn't say like, oh, the next flight out. She couldn't have known that the next flight would have been that. But then it's like when you're an adult, it's incredibly obvious that wasn't going to work out for anyone. But so they get to this place where they need to rent a car. And this actually starts what I actually think is a really fun running gag.
I think
the fact that they commit to it is what impresses me.
But by the time they got to the third one, I was like, all right.
I appreciate their commitment to this bit because they're meeting with this like mechanic who's wearing like this oversized jumpsuit and he's like, oh, well, I bought this business from this other guy and it's his jumpsuit. And then you later on meet the guy who sold that business and bought another one.
And
it's too small. So then you meet the other guy.
And they're wearing the wrong name tags.
It's a fun thing that they commit to really hard that I appreciate. But they get this really old shitty car for like $200.
You go.
It's a Yugo, which I think is a real thing.
I believe it is, yes.
It's from like she says, it's from a country that doesn't exist anymore because Yugoslavia is something else now. Is it the Czech Republic? Or no, that would be Czechoslovakia.
It's very 80s, yeah. I took AP Euro history.
But the long story short is they get the car. Listen, a lot of this is just road trip shit and not a ton of consequence. At a certain point, they are going down an icy mountain and there's no brakes.
Really fucking shitty snow.
There is, okay.
That's CGI snow. Can I just knock back to the the grandparents and the brothers one time, but the Jason Dolly
sunburn. Well, we do have to do the sunburn, yeah.
When he comes in from the pool, because he's like the one that's genuinely so excited about Palm Springs.
Because it's going to be warm, which also I don't think it would be that warm in Palm Springs in December.
In December.
It would be warmer than Denver, for sure.
It's warmer than Denver, but it's not like lay up by the pool warm. It's like 60 degrees. He's like so excited to like talk to babies by the pool.
Because he's like, ooh, all the grand girls, granddaughters coming to visit their parents.
Honestly, nobody was that much of a looker. One of the girls he talked to, I was like, that girl's busted. Anyway, the thing they also say when they're walking in, when they're like, he's like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if there was, like, because he buys Christmas swim trunks to get it. He's excited. And he's like, wouldn't it be cool if there was, like, a Christmas sunscreen, like, smelled like gingerbread or, like, eggnog or something, like, instead of, like, coconut or whatever? And I was like, oh, he's going to try to make that and burn himself. Like, and that's what I thought. He's going to, like, make homemade sunscreen. He just puts tanning oil on instead. And I'm like, why have that line then?
That's a fair point. They just go the lazy way where it's just like, oh, this was actually makes you more tan or whatever.
And well, no, what the grandma says, which I love, was that fries you like a wonton.
Really, that's...
I loved that.
Okay, sure. I mean, that really didn't stick out to me, but to each their own. But yeah, he's all sunburned now. Yeah. That's his joke.
Guys, his arc is done.
Well, what they're doing is, because we will have to address this at a certain point, and it's also kind of insane, is that the time that they are having the grandparents needs to get progressively worse, so then they all want to leave at the end. Because the dad is having trouble wrangling Charlie and getting tired of the mom bearing down on him, and the mom literally locks him in a room.
Bedroom?
Like, overnight, I'm fairly certain.
It's not overnight.
No. Fairly certain it's overnight.
Wait, because they sleep in the car.
Because I think that it's overnight. That she trapped this man in the clothes. He slept in his clothes. Like, it's...
But then the shitty brother is annoyed because the grandpa won't give up the console.
The grandpa gets addicted to the game and he can't play.
And then Jason Dolly's covered in ointment.
He can't sit on anything. And I was just like, just put a towel down. That's a very common answer to that sort of a thing. But they don't do that. So they need to all basically be alienated from the grandparents for one reason or another. But to go back to the CGI snow, is that this was the first... This was the yellow light that the effects and the compositing in this movie were gonna be absolute dog shit. And boy, it does not get better, because once the ladies wind up in beautiful, sunny Las Vegas, aka I'm 90% sure Vancouver or whatever, and they just have to green screen in a bunch of stuff to make it look like Vegas, it looks like dog shit. It's so bad. For the time.
How do they get to Vegas again?
Well, we have to get there. It's because they take the Yugo and they go down the steep road and like the brakes go out and...
Then that Yugo falls apart.
It made it all the way down the mountain, down the slippery road, and they stop at a diner, like right up front.
Oh, this is the...
Yeah.
This is how they get to Vegas.
Yeah.
Okay.
She got there, folks. Because they go into this diner to get some food for the morning, and this old couple rolls up.
And they roll up in like a van.
Yeah.
And
like
they can
a
hear them
van.
Talking about going to Las Vegas for the conference and stopping. They're like, we're going to be in Las Vegas record time, whatever. Mm-hmm. They go in with the plan to get them to drive them to Vegas. But I want to say something really quickly throughout this whole road trip part nonsense. Do these many people not have fucking cell phones?
No, they do. They're constantly calling
the dad. Okay, call a cab, call a car.
I guess you could maybe do that, but it's like these are supposed to be like small towns where everything's closed for Christmas.
Yeah, I guess. Like when the police officers like walk away, I'm like, can you just ask them for a number to a cab company?
But that's what I'm saying. It's a small town.
Even a small town has one guy. rolls around.
Classic Earl.
Like the skeleton Halloween town.
Yeah. Wow, that's a special case. His name is Benny. Also, put some respect on his name. But where does that get you? That's my point. You can't, if you're in a small
Hertz somewhere to an hour or two away to a Hertz, you give them all the cash on you.
You're not wrong. I guess I just didn't think that much about other ways to get out of this situation. I was just kind of taking
all I was doing.
I was just kind of taking it at face value. I'm not gonna lie.
I was like, take your car, call the cab, go to Hertz. Like I was really trying to solve this. Okay, so now they go in the diner trying to befriend them to get to Vegas, and they say they're going down there for an AASN conference, and I immediately say this is gonna be some weird fucking conference.
Oh, okay, I thought you got it. I thought you immediately knew what it was. And I was like,
that would be insane.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh, it's gonna, they're for some weird bullshit thing as well, but I thought you immediately was like, it's alien. Yeah. But what's weird about this interaction is that in my mind, because they're just so weird about it, because in my mind I would do what they basically end up doing, which I don't know if they actually do, maybe I'm filling in a blank, which is like, hey, we will pay for your breakfast if you will take us with you to Vegas, or I'll give you some money, just in general. Just ask and be like, I will repay. I'm not asking you to do it for
free.
They're
trying to build up goodwill, I guess, with
them.
They need to just ask directly, and like, these people are too stupid to get, like, to
right.
give
Right, and again, you have money at this point. You're not bumming a ride. Be like, I will give you gas money or something. You're going there already.
They literally just do it for the gag of, like, these people being up obtuse and not getting it. And you're like, why didn't you just ask?
Yeah, but
and
then it goes also, on for
it goes way, on for too, way too long. But then, they also have to do the gag of the mom ordering a million things.
Yeah, the mom orders like way too much food.
It made me hungry.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
I want a diner pancake.
Why did you say that in such a weird way?
I'm on a diet right now. And you it looks so good. When she ordered that like pancakes and the French toast, I was like, that sounds
It's an ungodly amount of food. Also, like, I know that that happens when you're pregnant, but how pregnant is this woman? How far along is
her tits are huge.
I'm just saying that morning sickness is like an early thing, and like, and I feel like the point where you're like ravenous all the time eating all this food, I think it's more as a later
stage.
I think
it depends on like
I'm sure it does. I'm not trying to mansplain mansplain pregnancy.
Fat shaming a pregnant woman?
Why are you I already gave you mansplaining. I'm not gonna go there. But no, by the way you said pancake, it reminded me of Mike Myers doing Goldmember where he's like smoking a pancake. Oh god, we're really in the 90s in this episode.
Will they ever make anything that funny ever again?
I think it was really funny at the time. I don't think it holds up.
I think it does.
All right, everybody. Austin Powers episode. We'll be right back. Austin Powers.
Such a weird thing to have taken over culture too. Like America loved Austin Powers.
Yeah, well, it was
Like Halloween costumes. There was
it hit a weird sect of being like really funny of like the humor of the time. It was perfect for the humor for the time. Number one, Mike Myers already was kind of big. Like so, this made him the king of the universe, pop culture icon at that point. And then also, I think it was like it did kind of catch on to that like the nostalgia for the '60s kind of vibe, especially the James Bond parodiness of it. Like I think people really
good fulcrum point where like James Bond was becoming kind of uncool.
Yeah, because this was post the waning Brosnan years, I believe, or during it.
During maybe? I think.
Yeah. But like to kind of flash back and like
diamonds
be like
diamonds are forever. I loved that one when I was a kid.
Just staring daggers at Emma. You guys can't see it. That was wild.
Did you watch deeply the Oscars? Do that weird James Bond tribute they did for no fucking reason?
Yeah.
Because Barbara Broccoli died and they're like, well, it's not like they're going to stop making James Bond. They're like, it was almost like we're going to have Margaret Qualley do a dance to a shitty rendition of Diamonds Are Forever because Amazon's taking over James Bond and they're all going to be crap now. Like that's
because when it happened, everyone was like, oh, I think they're going to announce the new James Bond. And I was like, they don't do that kind of shit at the Oscars.
No. Be crazy.
That would be such a weird place.
I mean, it was also just weird as fuck that they did that in general.
It was, but that that's the thing. People were like, that's the only reason I could see them doing
this. The
other
thing about with respect and love for everyone that sang those James Bond
from Russia with Love.
From Russia with Love. Oh my god, I have to tell you the funniest fucking
thing. Emma, we are in the middle of a podcast.
You're gonna
is this kind story? Of the kind of thing where I'm gonna need to cut it out?
No, I can tell you off mic, but it just reminded me from Russia till I'm gonna tell it on mic. Basically, we went to this restaurant. And if you're listening, I fucking hope you are. This restaurant in West Hollywood called Fanny's that's attached, it's attached to the Academy Museum.
Okay.
The Academy of Motion Arts and Sciences. Okay. The Oscar Museum.
You know it's going to be a good story when Emma starts laughing as she's beginning to tell it.
We go there because they are doing cocktails for the Oscars. This was in like around Oscar season. They have 10 different cocktails, some mocktails, all designed for the different Best Picture nominees. Sure. I had the Brutalist and it was delightful. Unlike the Brutalist. But their menu is all movie puns.
Mm-hmm.
But written by someone with fucking soup for brains because the soup for brains because the puns do not work at all. For example, an item on their menu is a spicy vodka pasta. You want to guess where they went with that pun?
Is this the from Russia with love? Okay.
You're never going to get it.
Well, because vodka is Russian.
I didn't even get that, but that's maybe why they chose that for this dish. From Russia with spicy vodka.
That's nothing! That's nothing!
Thank you, Luke. Hey, guess what? It gets worse. There's a lobster Cobb salad. Where do you think we went with that? You know, there's actually a movie called The Lobster.
I was going to say, is that a pun on
That's what you would think. How about A Lobster Cobb Odyssey? Which I believe is a pun on 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Or the Nolan Odyssey that hasn't come out yet.
But which would be insane.
That would be also insane.
A Lobster Cobb Odyssey?
Also, why wouldn't it be a Cobb-Odyssey? Like, combined Cobb Odyssey.
That's right there.
That's something. That's almost something.
It's almost something. That is the way that everything on this menu was so far left of where you could go. And I'm like, this is insane. Want to hear another one?
Okay.
Steak Frites.
Steak Frites. Okay, well, can you give me the movie that it's trying to...
Some Like It Hot.
Is it Some Like It Steak Frites?
You would think, based on the previous thing that you mentioned, that's what it would be. Instead, they swung left and it's Some Like It... Some Like It...
She can't get it out.
Sorry.
I'm gonna vomit. I'm gonna barf.
How did it kick off? Because I'm actually crying. Tears coming out of my eyes.
You too.
Go online, guys. You can Google Fanny's Los Angeles at the museum, and you should read some of these menu items. It's truly, oh my God.
Oh, okay. Jesus. You know what? We're at like an hour. We're going to take a break. I need to clean up. Yeah, I need to clean up. We'll be back. I didn't expect to keep that in the podcast, but I don't think I can take it out now.
I told you it was going to be worth
it.
I'm
so sweaty. I got so sweaty so quickly.
I actually couldn't breathe for a second. I was like, I'm going to throw up.
All right. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Oh, God. If there's an ocean, it's just a puddle that I've got. Get across any mountain I've climbed over like a kid on a monkey bar.
Okay, we're back. It's been a few hours. We've recovered. I'm really deeply sorry that we had to record our breakdown for you all.
People needed to know.
It just took me really off guard how much that got me.
I'm going to respond to the tweet of this episode with the link to the Fanny's menu so you guys can take a look at all of it.
Sure. Let us know your thoughts down below, everybody. Okay, so we're at a diner. The long and short of it is they do a weird prolonged bit about trying to convince these people to take them to Las Vegas, and then they just cut to the chase and people are like, yeah, sure, we don't mind. Great. We're super nice. Come get in our van, you know?
And they start singing. The couple's weirdly singing, which is just a complete rip-off of the John Candy Polka King in the Midwest. Like, they're trapped in a car now with, like, singing people who are annoying.
Or Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where he leads the entire bus in song, and Steve Martin doesn't know any of the songs.
That trope, basically. We then realize that the ASSN conference is the Alien Abduction Survivors Network.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are quite literally putting on tinfoil hats.
Yeah, they're tinfoil hat people.
And they
kind of before that really hit it big, I think.
I know. And they met at an alien abduction conference, and they go every year. And so Teddy and Charlie are slowly like, oh,
Teddy
shit.
And the mom.
Are like, oh shit, these people are nuts. And we're like now trapped in a car with these nutso people.
Yeah, because at one point they want to like drill their brains open.
Because they believe that the mom has been abducted by aliens based on her increased appetite. And then like the vomiting and stuff because she was about to get sick again in their car.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the pregnancy reveal happens for Teddy because they're like, well, that's the number one sign of an alien abduction.
Either
abducted by aliens or you were pregnant.
And then the mom's just like, oh, surprise, got me.
And I'm like, is Teddy a moron?
Oh, well, this does, not in the car, but very quickly. I was going to say, she's still young. She might not know everything. But my favorite line in the movie regrettably does go to the mom because Teddy asks her, how did this happen? She goes, I'm pretty sure you know how it happens. I signed the forum so you could see the movie in health class.
I like that a lot.
That's a good, I love when Disney Channel does a sex joke.
Yeah.
Like when they find a way
and
to navigate.
Like, that's cool. Like, yeah, let's not pretend. They've had 5 kids. We know what happened. Like,
yeah. Well, it's also known that Teddy is like a senior in high school and she would have had, like she said,
does
like,
have the hat.
Yeah, she would go to health class, you know, whatever. Because they drop them off on the side of the road in Vegas. And this is where we get the terrible Vegas green screening that I talked about.
I literally
before.
Wrote, this is so visibly not Vegas and I cannot look at it.
It's funny because it's like what would evoke being the Vegas Strip, but it's still also not clearly the Vegas Strip.
Well, it looks like an outdoor mall.
I mean, it's an outdoor mall in Vancouver. It's an outdoor
Sedona.
Mall.
Like, something. I was like, there's none of the grind, none of the hustle, none of the bustle. It's like a sterile outdoor mall.
But yeah, Teddy is obviously really upset about the idea that her mom's pregnant because she's like, as I already noted.
At one point, Teddy goes, 5 kids? Really? And I was like, damn.
She's like, yeah, as I already noted, these people have too many freaking children. But while they're trying to have this argument and get into it, a teen dressed totally normally
comes up and asks if they have any money to spare. And the mom gives her money.
Gives her some money. Teddy acts like she's so freaked out. She's like, why aren't you talking about that? And then I was like, Teddy, a normally dressed teenager asking you for money is actually your best option when someone approached you on the Las Vegas Strip. People that try and flag you down in Vegas can be way, way worse, my friend.
But then the mom's like, I gotta go pee. Like, they're kind of walking away and like fighting and walking. And then they leave their luggage like a few feet away. She's like, watch the luggage, but they're not paying attention. And then their luggage is stolen.
Yeah, in the span of 1 second. The mom also drops that they were planning on...
Do they know... Sorry, finish.
But there's a mom who just drops that they were planning on telling everybody at Christmas and whatnot.
I don't remember. Like, do they know in that instant that it's that girl that stole their luggage?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think they pretty much nail it down because they're like, she's the only one who got close enough to them. Something like that, pretty much.
And so they have no money.
They have no money, but so they call the dad and say, hey, guess... Okay, we're in Vegas. So just come and get us. We're not going to get any further than this. I mean, we have no money.
Ostensibly, you could get to Vegas in 5 hours. Like, get in the car.
Yeah, from Palm Springs?
Yeah.
It's not that crazy of an ask. I mean, it sucks because this is Christmas Eve now, I think. So not great, but so the dad is just like, okay, screw it. I'm going to take your grandpa's car and we're going to go pick up your mom in Vegas. And then he tries to leave. And then, like I said, Gabe and Jason Dolly have been so alienated. Jason Dolly's name is PJ, I think. Have been so alienated at this point that they're just like, oh no, take us with you, please. We don't want to be here anymore, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And there's actually a really sweet scene which for the record, it's an pointless scene where the dad is just like, hey, can you watch Charlie? And the grandma's like, yeah, of course I will. Like,
well, now I realize it seems makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, but he plays it up like it's such a big thing. Like, hey, I know this is a big
ass. I don't have time to deal with anything.
Can you please take it upon yourself to watch my daughter? And she's like, of course I will, because I am the best mother in the world and I know how to take care of children compared to you. And I was just like,
love to see her get a comeuppance for that.
Well, not only that, but I was just kind of like, of course she was going to watch Charlie. She's done nothing but say how much she loves Charlie the whole thing. Why would she ever say no to this request?
Fuck you.
Like, yeah, like, it's so weird, but it's really cute because he gives Charlie to the grandma and then Charlie just goes, bye, daddy. And he's like, bye, girl. Bye, baby girl. And gives her a kiss. It's really cute. It was a weirdly...
She needed more lines.
Well, I don't think she could talk that much, Emma.
Then the mom and Charlie get in a real, like, knockdown. This is the real, like, breakup of their, like, the road trip buddy comedy.
Well, because Teddy storms away from her after the bags get stolen, and like the mom finds her almost immediately after. Like, Teddy did a terrible job storming away.
Before the storm off, the mom says, like, you ruined Christmas.
Is that the thing that brings them up first? I thought it was when they come in. No. Okay, but yes, she looks at her and says, You ruined Christmas. Which is obviously Teddy's a terrible thing to tell
Teddy's
your child.
That's the meanest thing you've ever said to me, and like, I've been trying so hard to fix it this whole time.
But it's also kind of correct.
I completely agree.
It's a little bit.
And the scene would be a lot sadder when, like, because Bridget Mendler's selling it with her acting of being very upset, but she's in a really stupid fucking hat.
Yeah.
And a knit hat. What's that? A hat? Crazy fucking junky hat.
No, this doesn't deserve it.
But I was like, I can't focus on her acting because this hat's so distracting.
That is a good point. Something I wanted to point out is that, like I said, the mom does a decent job with this role at times. It is crazy how much better at acting Bridget Mendler is than the full-grown woman that is her mother.
Absolutely.
It's like a startling difference.
The mom is really broad and like, can be pretty like grating, and like Bridget Mendler knows exactly when to dial it up and when to dial it down and when to play for comedy and when to just kind of let something sit. Like, she's really good.
Oh yeah, but so then they break up, and then this is what it is Teddy, you're right, Teddy goes and sits on a rock somewhere in this outdoor mall,
and the mom's sitting right behind
the mom comes and finds her immediately. Like, that's what I'm saying, it's a terrible storm off from Teddy. Like, you gotta storm off with some emphasis and just keep walking. And they're playing this really sad Bridget Mendler song, but also there's a like Salvation Army Santa going around trying to collect money, and it really undercuts like the dramatic moment they're going for, to have a Santa interjecting and like shaking his bell.
I find this dramatic moment unsuccessful on all accounts.
Well, yeah, it's gavel bang for sure, but it's only gonna get worse.
Well, then a young Teddy notices what but a busker, and she says, I can do that, and puts her cap out and starts singing Christmas,
which is why she was wearing a funky junky hat.
But I also want to say something very critical of this film. I don't want to watch Bridget Mendler sing bad. I want to watch Bridget Mendler sing good.
She should have.
If we're going to sing, why not use Bridget Mendler to sing good?
I wouldn't be surprised if they needed a vocal double for Bridget Mendler, because she can't do it.
This is not what I want to watch. I want to hear you hit the goddamn note.
There is a decent gag, though, where she starts singing and then a guy actually does put a dollar or whatever in her hat, and then she starts like dancing along with it, and he takes it back. That was kind of funny. I like that. But this is difficult to describe because it's dumb and bad.
It's so stupid.
Basically, she starts trying to do this one-woman show act. The busker she sees, I think, is a mime also, and he is freaking raking it in, baby. I've never seen such
that mime's eating good night.
Successful a Christmas Eve mime in Las Vegas on the streets.
I'm like, should I be a Christmas Eve mime?
Yeah, apparently. But she tries to sing on her own and do a little dance or whatever, and it doesn't really go that well. So then her mom decides to join her, and it becomes like a weird mother-daughter act where they're singing but also arguing with one another and like doing like pratfalls
and like throwing ice cream at each other.
Yeah, like they stole someone's ice cream.
No,
that is a bystander's ice cream.
A bystander hands them a cup of confetti. Yeah, like, why would you have that on?
Where was that? Why was that?
Also, there's one extra who puts so much mustard on her one line. We're like,
yes.
To kind of explain, I think they like shot this and they were like, this doesn't make any sense why the crowd would be so rapt with these two people singing badly and fighting, and like the mom like fighting for the spotlight and Bridget kind of like pushing her. And this one extra woman gets one line and she puts so much goddamn honey Dijon mustard on this, where she goes, this is exactly what the holidays are like in my house.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus, dial it back, Janine.
She's thirsty. She's thirsty. She's thirsty
for it. Okay, so I guess people like this because it's relatable Christmas. Christmas family drama comedy.
Yeah, it's supposed to be doing like a weird bit where it's like, it's the holidays, but we're a family.
Don't you hate your fucking mom?
It's also important to know, by the way, is that they don't need this money.
Nope.
The dad is coming to
they
get them.
They only need the money because the mom's fucking ravenous.
They're hungry. They're both hungry. Yeah. It's like they ate in the morning and then drove all the way here and now they're hungry again. So they're just hungry, but the dad's coming in like 5 hours. And I know the mom is pregnant and she probably needs to eat really frequently. But I think you could hold
she
out.
She had like a fucking.
Yeah, she had a feast.
Plowman's feast.
A what?
Plowman's
feast. A plowman's feast. Is that a phrase?
There's like a thing called like a plowman's platter. I don't think I think I just invented the feast part. A plowman's lunch. A lunch. That's like, it's like a smorgasbord of a little everything, right? It's a meal based around bread, cheese, fresh or pickled onions, ham, greens. I thought I was talking about. It's like the thing you get at pubs. It's like a bunch of different
thing
shit.
You get this pubs. Oh, at pubs. Okay.
And it's like cheese and salt. And
oh, is it a British thing?
I think it's a UK thing.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Beer, bread and cheese. Like I was like, it's a hearty.
The three main food groups.
It's a hearty for a plowman.
Yeah, a plowman. You say plowman really weird. You say plowman.
I don't know if I'm saying it right. They believe the specific term plowman's lunch was believed to date from the 1950s when the Cheese Bureau.
Oh.
Big cheese, if you will.
Big cheese is real. It's real in America too.
As a marketing body, began to promote it in pubs as a way to increase the sales of cheese. The more you know.
Propaganda.
Yeah, it was cheese propaganda.
We have plenty
and
of
it. And I ate it up.
Well, yeah. Cheese is great.
Pun intended.
We're from the Midwest. We have to like cheese. So they do this dumb song and dance routine.
But they get enough money to go to the buffet.
To go to like the cheapest buffet in Vegas, which is pirate themed.
I kind of did like the inside of this building. That's my Disney. My Disney adult speaking. I was like, this looks heavily themed and I like it.
It does. It looks like an overly themed, dumb Vegas casino or whatever.
And I like
but
that.
But I think it was clearly like a family fun center or something that was pirate themed.
It's a defunct like shitty chain restaurant.
Yeah, something like that. It's pretty funny. And they're just like getting food out of warmers.
The girl who stole their luggage.
Who's also eating like ravenously. Yes. Like or whatever.
And they're like, oh my god, that's the girl that stole her luggage. And Bridget Mendler, god tier line delivery on this joke, goes, oh, she's wearing my
this
shirt.
This is a great joke.
God, she looks better in it than I do.
Well, no, that's the setup. To me, the punchline is when they confront her and she goes, take that top off. You look horrible. And, like, after she admitted that she looks better in it. Also, sorry, I don't want to gloss over. We touched on it with that crazed extra. But that performance they do for people, the busking, people lose their freaking
minds.
No,
people are taking their tops off. Yeah. They're, like, freaking out.
They are absolutely losing it for this a cappella.
Just like, my family at Christmas. What? As I said,
you sounded like Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers. Yeah, we've been locked in our Christmas.
As I said, I was straight like hands in a cup of confetti.
Yeah. But yeah, they confront the girl immediately and thinking that she's some kind of like, you know, con artist teen or whatever, making her way and like.
This was actually cute. I thought this worked. Actually, as an emotional moment, I thought this worked.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad, but the basic gist is that she's got her own crybaby backstory about why she's stuck in Vegas.
It sounds like she ran away from home.
But unintentionally. She didn't mean to never come home.
Well, her mom said don't come back.
Well, once she had already left at that point.
I don't know. I thought it was like, if you go to this music festival or whatever, don't bother coming back because I'm kicking you out of the house, basically.
Sure.
She was like, that's why she feels like she couldn't go back and she ran out of money.
Yeah, she couldn't get all the way. She wasn't even supposed to end up in Vegas, but she's been stuck here for a length of time. And they're like, just call your mom and tell her do you want to come home? And she's like, no, she said she never want to talk to me again. And they're both just like, girl, I tell my mom I don't want to talk to her ever again, like on a weekly basis. Yeah. Like, you've got to.
Well, they also say like, she says sometimes moms say things they don't mean, which is reflection back on their argument. And I really thought the moment in this movie when the mom is most effective is she's like, do you want me to call her? And so the mom, Teddy's mom, calls the girl's mom and it's very sweet. And they have like a little bonding moment where they both have the same number of kids. And like,
They talk about The Bachelor.
I actually really like that. The mom's
that was cute.
She's like, isn't she awful? Like, or something like about like a character on The Bachelor. And then like they hand the phone over. She's like, she wants to talk to you. And so basically like she wants to see me, but I can't get there tonight. It is Christmas tomorrow. My mom can't really afford a plane ticket right now. And Teddy, being a mature adult, has a free plane ticket to anywhere. And so she gives her plane ticket that she got from missing out.
Correct. So she can go home. So they reconcile, basically. The mom at one point says, like, you gave me the greatest gift of all, my own Broadway musical. Isn't the greatest gift of all your children?
Well, I thought it was going to be being a mother, but then that doesn't make any sense because she's not the eldest.
That's true. But no, she literally also says something about, like, I was just upset and I'm, like, freaked out about how quickly you're growing up. And then I was like, isn't it weird because she's the middle child? Like
Jason Dolly's older.
Jason Dolly is ostensibly older, I think. That's kind of a weird call. Now, unfortunately, we do have to cut back to the dad and the boys.
You're going to have to take the lead here. I have
Actually, I kind of want to hear your version of what you think happens.
Do you want to read some of my notes?
Yeah, please.
Where the fuck did the dad and the brothers end up? Because I do not care. I know that, like, Jason Dahl, like, wanted to take a shortcut, mm-hmm. and then they drove on, like, a private area, and they got, like, guns pointed at them, and then I said, I've completely zoned out. What does this have to do with Hinduism? Because I clocked in someone saying they're a Hindu, and I'm like, what?
It's actually a decent joke that we'll get to
and
in a second.
And why am I watching paintball? Yep. Get me out of here. Mm-hmm. And then that's all I got.
All right, let me see if I can break this down very quickly. The guys are, there actually is a decent gag that they play with the Chirons, where because the whole time it's saying, like, where they are and how many days till Christmas, and it just says in the middle of the Mojave Desert or whatever, and I was like, okay, that's okay. Kind of funny. Jason Dahl is, yeah, like, map questing or whatever to get to Vegas, and he's like, no, there's this shortcut that you definitely have to take. It shaves, like, an hour off of our trip. Mm-hmm. Let's go. And the dad's like, sounds good to me. And I was like, okay, so this is stupid. Yeah. Everyone knows it's just one road to Vegas. It's not that hard.
Right.
And they wind up getting these very obviously paintball guns, but are maybe led to believe that maybe it's real guns. I don't know. And they do a weird reference to that. I think it's like Legends of Treasure of Sierra Madre, where it's like, we don't need no stinking badges, because they think they're getting pulled over by the cops or something. But it's just dudes in paintball gear. And they basically get taken to this warehouse and are interrogated by these dudes in paintball gear about, like, stuff that the dad doesn't know what's going on, but he thinks they're being kidnapped, essentially. But Gabe tries to explain, but the dad talks him down. And Gabe explains that the creator of the Galaxy of Death games every year puts on a massive paintball tournament. I know, but I have to get through it. To emulate his game, and the winner, I don't give a shit. But the joke about the Hinduism is that they're like, why would he do this massive paintball tournament on Christmas Eve? And he goes, oh, well, most of the people that work for his company are in India, so they're all Hindus, so they don't celebrate Christmas.
Is that a joke, or is that just, like, pointing out how Hinduism works?
Well, no, just pointing out that, like, tech companies are, like, you know, outsourced labor and stuff.
This was, like, a little too close to home with, like, Elon Musk taking over our country. I really didn't.
Well, the other joke is even more Elon Musk, which is, like, the rest are antisocial nerds who don't have anyone that loves them that they want to spend Christmas with.
Nobody ever wanted to have sex with them, and now they must destroy democracy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of people must have somehow had sex with him, because he has a lot of kids.
Yeah. Someone that he won't admit. I mean, I'm not getting into
this. Yeah, I don't want to get into it anyway. But so basically, they break out because Jason Dahl is still lubed up from his suntan lotion and can break out of the restraints, and he unties them. And so Gabe devises a strategy.
Yeah, that's his entire sunburn plot tied up. Yes. Is that he can
untied
get
up, actually. Oh, and then Gabe, because he's played so much of the game, is able to look at their war plans and devise where they need to go to get back to their car. But then secretly, he's actually devising a way for them to win the game by capturing the what, Emma? I told you what it was earlier.
The Stone of Norgos.
Norgos.
What is it?
I'll give you 2 out of 3. So give me one more. I'll give you best of 3.
I don't
Mitrios.
That was never
the stone of me. I know. But the long story short is they go on this big paintball tear, just shooting guys. It is really funny. I don't know if you caught on to this. Is they can almost never show people getting hit by paintballs for some reason. Is they just, like, cut to someone shooting and then you cut to them and suddenly they're covered in paint.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe that's an extra kind of thing. But, like,
too violent?
I don't know what it is, but it just, like, you see someone shooting and then you cut to the other person already covered in paint and then, like, falling on the ground. It's very strange. Man. But Gabe wins the freaking game, and then the creator is like, wait a minute, you guys aren't in my game, but you are wearing my team's colors, so you won the game for me. Cool, how can I repay you? And they're like, oh, we need a lift. So they get a helicopter in a second, because back in Vegas, now that they've got their stuff back, they're trying to find another place where they can rent a car or find some other mode of transportation. But it's Christmas Eve, although everything is open in Vegas all the time, so I don't know how much actually closes for Christmas Eve. But the only place that is open is a bicycle rental shop, and so they rent a tandem bicycle.
This also was just so fucking stupid, though, because they're like, we're going to meet them in the middle of the desert. I'm like, stay where you are.
Precisely.
The number one rule of meeting up with someone when you're in, like, a perilous situation, it's like, don't go, then try to find them.
Their communication breaks down because they can't talk on the phone while they're doing this paintball thing.
Stay where you are. When you can't communicate with someone, the rule is, kids.
Hey, you have all your money and shit now. You got your stuff back from the girl. Get a hotel room.
Fucking put on a Bones rerun and blast that cool AC and let it wash over you. Kick your feet up, ladies. You don't have to get on.
Yeah, you're good now. You got the boys. But it's because it's Christmas Eve and they want to be there for Christmas.
I don't give a fuck. Like, why are they so obsessed?
Because the mom is obsessed about being with her baby. You know, she wants there to be to do their traditions and whatnot. They want to make pancakes shaped like Christmas trees or something. There actually is a decent joke earlier, which says they can't do that. And Teddy goes, I'm pretty sure flour and eggs are available nationwide. So they rent a bike from the final guy who sold his business to another one. Oh yeah, the middle one cleaned up their car after it broke down. It's kind of pointless. But they say they bike for like like 9 mile, like a crazy amount of time, like into the middle of nowhere in the desert, and find another different diner than where they were originally.
This diner was really cute, though. I'll say that
it was. It's like a cute, it's like
a little alpine.
It's like a cabin kind of vibe. But then this is where the movie just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Movie stops making sense.
Movie just stops making sense. Because the guys show up in the helicopter,
and the helicopter flies away.
Why does the why wouldn't the helicopter transport you back?
Why is the plan to put you with your lost family in the middle of fucking nowhere
with no vehicle?
And they also found them just due to like his satellite tracking.
You know, they say they pinged their cell phones. So that they do explain that. I'll give them that. What they don't explain adequately is then the grandparents show up
in two cars.
In two separate cars, one of which being the car that they took.
Yeah, how the fuck did he get
there? He's just like, oh, you left my baby in the desert. And then
now they're all at this fucking diner, and they're like, it doesn't matter because we're together. Christmas.
Yeah, and then at one point she asked the waitress if the cook can make Christmas tree shaped pancakes. Like, he can barely. And he's like, they can barely make them round. And then 2 minutes later,
they made
the Christmas tree pancakes. And then I was like, wait, that you just said that actually.
And
that was
like, can our fucking kid put the star on top of your tree?
Yeah, well, so that actually, I did appreciate this. And if you go back to the beginning of the movie, which I did, this does actually make sense. Is they find out, because they lost the star at the beginning, and they find out it was wedged in.
That's why the seat didn't work.
It was wedged in Charlie's car seat. And if you watch the beginning of the movie, when Charlie throws the thing away, almost immediately after the dad comes in with the chair, and so he ran it over when he came in. So they actually did set it up. I had to kind of give him credit on that one.
But they unbend the star, and Charlie puts it on the tree, and then inexplicably a sexy young teen.
because Jason Dollar literally has a line to Gabe, because Gabe has got the fake Stone of Mitrios that he's like, man, I got the best Christmas present, and he's like, oh man, I didn't get anything I wanted for Christmas, aka some pussy. This random girl who has like the owner
dressed like Mrs. Claus,
dressed like a sexy Mrs. Claus, walks in and gives him like a smile and a wink, and he's like, oh,
ho, ho, ho,
ho, ho, ho, ho, as he points in her general direction.
It's truly like a sexy like Halloween costume, like Claus outfit, and I'm like, why would you be wearing that at this local diner
for no reason? It's not like they're having like
no one is dressed up
for anything. Also, I want to be very clear. When they were sitting at this diner before everybody else showed up, it looked like a normal-ass diner. Now, it's like Christmas Central.
It is truly like a Hallmark movie.
And yeah, it's a Hallmark movie. It's a Hallmark movie, 100%. And then there's a moment where she's like, guess what, guys? I've got a great Christmas present for us all. And
I'm pregnant.
And then at that moment, the waitress realizes that all of the Christmas lights are unplugged in and then plugs them in. And so it all lights up all beautifully. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, great. Yeah, whatever.
And then they fly home.
Yeah,
this is where they make the big joke. Due to our aggressive policy, but we're selling all.
So I guess they go back to Palm Springs to fly home like originally planned. But yes, Hetty no longer has her ticket, and so they make the same offer to her again. And she's like, right here, I'll go. And no, the joke I actually like is then the mom looks at the dad and goes, it's your turn. You go with her this time. And so he has to get off the plane and go with her. So I guess that she gets to go on spring break. Mm-hmm. We don't really ever know, number one. Number two,
in the Vegas buffet scene, it's kind of like explained where like, she's like, I was just emotional about
she knows she's responsible enough.
She knows that like she can do the spring break thing. So that's kind of, I feel like, put to bed there. Where it's like, you can go.
Yeah, I guess. And just now she just needs the ticket again or whatever. But like I mentioned, I cannot tell you guys how freaking upset I was that the grandma doesn't show up and be like, well, she destroyed everything in the house, so we might as well celebrate Christmas here.
Yeah.
Literally anything to pay that off. But that's Good Luck, Charlie. It's Christmas in April.
We did it.
It's fine.
Fine.
It's fine. I got some decent laughs out of it. Someone who doesn't know anything about Good Luck, Charlie, I found
really
it approachable.
I really would have enjoyed it so much more had there not been that stupid paintball plot line at the end that really lost me. I couldn't even look at the screen. I was so bored.
It really felt like they realized halfway through writing that like
the guys had nothing to do.
They don't have anything to do, and we need to fill more time because there's more stuff we want the girls to do in Vegas. So they just needed to give them this weird paintball thing, which also like, because that's the thing, PJ and the dad also get into it, and I'm like, do you guys
like? They were
like,
never in the game.
And like, do you guys like paintball? I agree with you. It would have been funnier if it was him and the grandpa.
And it's also one of those things where I just thought like, I know the dad like takes a hit for the kids. Like he like goes down to the convention, and I'm like, this is not earned, because there's not a moment where like he has conflict with the sons where it would like mean something for him to like take the paintball.
Well, I think it's meant to be a joke that he's like sacrificing himself.
Well, it wasn't fucking funny.
No, it wasn't. I'm not saying that.
Jokes are also meant to be funny. I checked.
Like I said at the top, I think out of the movies based on shows, this is one of the better ones. It's not the Suite Life movie. Remember that piece of trash?
That was hot shit.
That was really rough. That was a rough one.
That was doo-doo.
So I think, you know, centering it mostly on Bridget Mendler and the mom really paid off for it in the long run. But what would you rate it, Emma?
I would give it a 6.5.
I'll give it a 6. Yeah, it's fine for what it
that
is.
That 0.5 is just for Charlie.
Yeah, you know what? I will actually join in at 6.5 because I do really want to celebrate the fact that they said we're introducing a big plot point for the rest of the movie, rest of the series in the movie. The series
continued on after that, right?
It did. The kid gets born. He joins the cast. Yeah, I looked it up after this. Yeah,
he joins the cast. Does he have any picture deal with Sony? It's a fucking kid. It's a baby.
Well, you know what I'm just saying is like it becomes a thing that like
they have
an even younger child.
What baby did they get?
The boss baby.
Who signed on? Oh my god, they got the boss baby.
Got the boss baby.
He's hard to nail down. Series regular. They're the boss.
Emma, before we talk about what movie we're gonna watch next time, do you want to talk about the theme park and breaking theme park news?
Okay. Oh, a few things.
Also, was there something else we wanted to talk about at the end? It was Tiana.
Since I've been on this podcast, we have decided
we're theme park influencers now. So everybody, welcome to our theme park segment.
Except for are you going to play something?
Yeah, I'll play something.
Okay. Left off. When was the last theme park thing we talked about? I think
it was the announcement of Epic Universe.
I don't know.
And now we're seeing. It's been a while.
It's
been a while since we had an episode.
It's live, folks. That thing is.
It's opening in May.
It's opening for everyone in May, but influencer preview. So I've already watched a 2-hour walkthrough. I've listened to the podcast.
I knew you'd done a deep dive.
Done a deep dive on it. It looks incredibly sick. It's like massive, is what I've heard. The interesting thing about it is like the portals, and I think this could get annoying. So it's like I think they're called Chronos or something, where it's like apparently you walk through the first big one to like enter Epic Universe, and then you're in Celestial Park, which is like the main hub area,
which is their non-IP area,
which it has like Stardust Racers, and it's all like Celestial. I don't know what Celestial even means. I know the restaurant's called like Pizza Moon, but like this is where
it's that classic thing that Universal does, where when they need to theme an area and they just decide to do some weird random bullshit that they did in like Isles of Adventure, where there's like that Neptune of Greek mythology section.
Or like in the fucking Universal Studios Park where there's that like San Francisco section, like that wharf area. What the fuck is that wharf?
Well, no, I think that's because, it's to be the Jaws town. It's supposed to be.
Jaws doesn't exist anymore.
No, but that's what it would start.
Jaws isn't in San Francisco.
No, but it's just the wharf kind of thing. And then also it's because they had the earthquake thing, remember?
Oh, it's for earthquake.
It's for earthquake. It's for earthquake, okay, yeah.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't, because remember that all the Universal Studios is just an expansion of everything that was on the tram tour, and they had the tram, which does still exist at Universal Studios Hollywood. Is they'll sometimes do the earthquake flooded thing depending on the season.
Universal Studios, they gotta figure that. That's a horse of a different color.
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about Celestial Park.
But I'm saying the Celestial Park, like it is exactly, you put it into perfect words where it's like I think Universal is doing a really good job, and that is what I'm going to get into without the other stuff that I've seen. But it's like this is where they always fall flat. Is like the one thing that Disney they can kind of always do it better than Universal is like creating park magic in like things that are not IP and things that are just like a gift shop, a hotel, where it's like what the fuck is like there's no IP for like the Disney hotels, but those all feel like unique and magical and themed, and like a yacht club, and one's a Polynesian thing, and like you go to the Universal hotels and you're like, okay, so this is all just like a fucking Lowe's, like a random different color, like you're thinking some random bullshit, like the Grand Helios Hotel. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Well, I wouldn't even go that far. I would say Disney is just good at like doing areas that have like nothing in them, but theming them really well.
Yeah.
So like even if it is IP based, like in Disneyland now, they took an area that was all San Francisco themed and made it San Fransokyo from Big Hero 6. Sick. But there's all that it is like restaurants and shopping. Like there's no ride, there's no like things to do really in there other than eat stuff.
And I get
but
that
it's
you
like,
need to have a main gate that probably isn't IP based, because then it's like maybe you want to have like a main area, like a central area, but like the Celestial part
but just
of it all,
don't theme it like that.
It's so bizarre.
It reminds me of Evermore. When you talk about it like that, it gives me Evermore vibes.
Also,
if anyone knows what it is, watch Jenny Nicholson's video.
We actually truly cannot get into this. This would have to be like a different episode, but the lore of Epic Universe is like true nonsense. There's like a Captain Cacao who's a bear. I'm dead fucking serious. The lore of the park is true gobbledygook, where it's like apparently there was a bear space pirate.
Why does there need to be lore? four now.
I fucking know.
Don't. Like, I don't know. Don't, like, you don't need that. Because also.
Then, like, he discovered the Kronos and discovered all the.
Yeah, but okay, sure. I get all
why
that.
Why do we need Captain Cacao?
But then, no, but the problem for me is that when you're making bullshit up like that, it immediately loses the luster when you go, like, yeah, this magical space bear found the Nintendo.
That's what they're positive.
That doesn't make any sense.
But also, he found Celestial.
And also, it's
Celestial Bar.
It's also weird to do that when one of them is Harry Potter, when there's two other things that are Harry Potter. Has he not discovered those parts of the Harry Potter? Which, as always, screw you, J.K. Rowling.
Got an extra big one today.
Yeah.
Why
can't that woman keep her goddamn mouth shut?
Shut the fuck up.
Why did she need to come after asexual people?
Did she do that today?
No, that was on Asexual Visibility Day. It was like a week or so ago or whatever.
No.
But it's just like, it's crazy because freaking Warner Brothers put out that statement that was like, oh, we want her involved in the new series and all stuff. We think we're only going to benefit from collabing with her.
When did they put that out?
A while ago. But then they did.
Who did that?
But then if you're going to do that, Warner Brothers, you need to have someone on her social media like a goddamn hawk.
You need to take her phone and bite it in half.
You cannot have her out there.
She just put, okay, so like this is going to date this episode greatly. Sure. But there was just a massive like court decision in the UK about trans rights. And it of course went the wrong way. Yeah. It went the JK way. And she posted like the craziest, like, gloating, horrible image of her, like, smoking a cigar. Like, she's a truly, like, mustache-twirling villain at this point. That all being said, up front, before we even talk about the Harry Potter of it all, she sucks.
But that being said, is that the parks, I've said this before last time we talked about theme parks, so much work of people's goes in there, and it is some of the most well-done shit in theme park history.
So that's, if we're gonna go through the gates, I have heard incredible things, and I, guys, I'm willing to eat my shirt here, because I made a lot of fun,
About French Ministry of Magic.
1920s French Paris.
Yeah.
Magic Paris. I was like, this is...
It's a weird call. On paper.
Well, it definitely looped with one of those things where they were like, this is going to be the Fantastic Beasts area. Mm-hmm. It'll be 1920s Wizarding Paris, and then we'll do a Newt Scamander ride where he's checks notes... like hiding from people in his coat and you have to go in his trunk to avoid talking to other humans. A weird choice for a main character of your film, and catch a Scruddly Dunk or whatever the fuck those movies are.
That sounds too real. That sounds like that could be a thing.
And then all of a sudden Johnny Depp shows up. No! And like that's a jump scare. So then
it's Johnny Depp at the beginning of the ride, but at the end it's Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes. And you're like, what's going on? Anyway, and then the Joe Blush shows up and he goes, I'm gay, but only a little bit, and then the ride's over. The ride ends randomly in the middle of the narrative because they're not finishing these fucking movies.
No.
So obviously what happened?
Do they have more stuff to wrap up?
Yeah, Luke. There's supposed to be two more.
There's
supposed to be the duel between Grindelwald and Voldemort.
Oh, we're supposed to see that?
They scrapped it.
Well, yeah, of course. Nobody's seen you made a trilogy which has one decent movie in it. Like, why?
So basically, they were trying to stretch this out for five movies, and unsuccessfully, all these movies are scrapped. Obviously, the last two movies were wildly unsuccessful.
Correct.
And so
batshit insane.
And it just also garnered no sort of like love from the fandom. There's not like people that like are like, gotta dress up as Newt Scamander for Halloween. Like they truly are memory hold. Even people that don't hate J.K. Rowling, if you're going
the
to
people
see
in those movies wanted to get out of those movies.
They were breaking the chains. Remember when Ezra Miller like punched him? Why? Like every
Emma, you're getting unintelligible.
It is the most cursed franchise of all time. Anyway, when they realized, oh my god, this thing is cursed. We're not gonna do anymore. They were like, I wonder if they were already too far on the streets of Wizarding Paris. We're like, we're locked in with that. But then they're like, fuck it. We have to time travel to the British Ministry for Harry, Ron, and Hermione in the Ministry of Magic, because we cannot build a Fantastic Beast ride. Mm-hmm. No one will go on it. This is supposed to be an e-ticket. And so they do this weird thing. I was like, this is such nonsense why they're doing this. It honestly looks pretty fucking cool.
Did they bring the actors back to do Harry, Ron, and Hermione on the ride?
So it's unclear how they do it, but they are in the ride.
Okay,
I don't know if it's AI or like
that would suck.
Stuff from other...
Because if I were those three, they know well enough to try and
That's
get
That's what I'm saying. They fucking hate J.K.
Yeah, they hate her justifiably.
I know Imelda Staunton came back to do... Because the Ministry ride is themed around, it's the trial of Dolores Umbridge.
Yeah.
She's on trial at the Ministry of Magic for a crime, so you're post like Battle of Hogwarts.
Imelda Staunton is so much older now.
She looks honestly good in the okay. image that I've seen.
I'm just thinking of watching her play the queen on the crown.
I know she shot new footage, but I doubt those other three came back. I wouldn't.
I wonder how they do that then. I guess, yeah, a lot of
and AI I will reserve all judgment on these rides until I actually go on them and go there, because like I do believe you cannot be like watching a ride through on YouTube, and of course I watch them, I don't care about spoilers, and be like, oh, like this is bad, this is good. That's all to say, I am wary of the overwhelming positive reviews on stuff, because it's only influencers right now, basically. Mm-hmm. But I also will hold my judgment back until I go on the rides. My only note, the Ministry of Magic. Have you seen the pictures of this shit?
Not many of the Ministry, no.
The queue is fucking insane. Like, it looks...
Like, in a good way?
Yes. Like, okay. like Rise of the Resistance level. Like, they built the thing huge to scale. Like, it looks like they built the goddamn Ministry of Magic. Okay. And the queue looks
I did see that. Yeah, I did see that.
I was like, you must have seen it. Because that is, like, one thing that went, like, wildly viral. And I was like, this is actually, like, pretty fucking crazy.
And that's what I'm saying is why I understand if not everyone shares this stance, is I don't mind paying... Because, you're paying a ticket to a whole theme park.
Yeah.
It's not like your money is going direct into J.K. Rowling's pocket. I'm sure she gets a percentage whatever. But it's like, it's the amount of work that has to go into doing stuff like that. Like, the amount of labor and creative stuff. Like, I feel like these people still deserve to be rewarded and applauded for it, even though it has such a...
I mean, it's genuinely breathtaking.
Yeah, exactly.
It's better than... Like, and you use flu powder to get there.
Yes,
that is. So this is how you enter the queue. Like, this is so cool. This is a great use. This is what I'm saying. This is a really good theme park thing that I want to give you some universal credit for. I think they do it also in Isle of Burke with the meeting toothless
dragon.
Don't
even get me started on the How to Train Your Dragon stuff.
So it's like, but this is a great example. Like, the flu powder thing. This is so easy to do. It's a green light and smoke and you walk through a tunnel. But it's like, this is a great example of like looking at your IP and going, what is something in these
people
movies
want to do?
That people, I don't know, it's called the movies, but like people want to do. The books. Just like, in these movies, people would like want to do in real life, and how can we create that experience for them? This is a really, really good example.
I don't mean to call my sister out, but underneath the photo she's showing me, it's from a text group with her friends. And it just says, I'm rock hard.
That's
what Emma said.
But like, the ministry shit is legit insane. Like, yeah. It's huge. It's all the fireplaces. Like, look at how big that is.
Yeah.
So they're like, it has that Rise of the Resistance effect.
Totally. And this is what I'm saying is why J.K. Rowling sucks in general for being a transphobe. But like, just like how much sucks that she's laid a stank on that kind of stuff, because it's so good and it deserves to be appreciated.
But my thing about the ride, I watched the ride there, and my only worry about it is that like, I fear it is not the flu powder thing. There's like a whole Arumpit sequence. That is something from Fantastic Beasts. They mention Arumpit horns in Harry Potter, but that you actually see it in Fantastic Beasts.
I believe Luna Lovegood's dad has one.
And it's like, I don't give a shit about this. Like, this is not something that I want to see brought to life, particularly. And it's a whole new storyline, because it's after the Wizarding War. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm seeing, I guess Harry, Ron, and Hermione are in it kind of in like a screen element, and it's a lot of like Umbridge and then like Death Eaters like throwing it out. I'm like, this isn't really like taking me into a world or a part of the movies that I've always wanted to be in.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that like, I like the Forbidden Journey is like, you're flying in Quidditch and then you're in
Hogwarts.
You're in Hogwarts and then you're in the Forbidden Forest. And I'm like, this isn't like what I wanted to be.
You never want to see the trial of this old woman.
And then get interrupted by a giant fucking magic rhino. Like, it feels like it's not really what I wanted to see, but the reviews on it are very positive.
But have you ever wanted to be on a roller coaster that's a mine cart that goes over a gap?
I have.
And Donkey Kong is there eating bananas.
I want that. You know what I wanted to do? Meet my friend Donkey Kong.
Because he's going bananas.
Did you also see they have the cake that they get, the Princess Peach cake?
Yeah, I think they've had that in other...
Japan.
Yeah, I don't know if they have it.
They don't have it here.
Believe it or not, I still haven't been to Nintendo World here. I really should go.
Crazy.
I know.
You're the biggest Nintendo fan.
I've just never found out because I should go before like summer happens when it gets flooded, but I just haven't found the time.
You might know more about that. Nintendo is kind of like my blind spot with these stuff. Like, I know a lot about the other lands, but like Nintendo, I'm kind of just like,
No, I get it.
I know about the minecart. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, well, I've actually heard mixed things about it. It's amazing, but people say it's a little rough because the ride vehicle is
kind of short.
Well, maybe I didn't hear that, but they said the ride vehicle is kind of like a new thing where it's like the actual
arms.
Yeah, it's like the actual body of the roller coaster is below it and you're like raised up and it's holding you on an arm. So then like the track is down, I mean, you guys can't see this. The track is down and like to your right and the cart is raised
up.
And so because of that, like it is a little bit rough, but it's not like you're getting like the shit shaken out.
But it is more of like a family coaster. Like it's not supposed to be like like intense or anything.
It's not intense.
No. But it does look, the Donkey Kong Country like land doesn't really cool.
Oh yeah.
Like the bananas, everything. Like that looks sick as fuck. I like very much wanted to do that. I heard that, and I don't know anything about it. I haven't been to the one in Hollywood, and it's not like my biggest passion thing. General consensus is that they really bungled the Mario Kart ride. Is that everyone hates it?
I haven't heard that everyone hates it, but I just think people find it pretty lackluster. They don't think it's a bad ride, but it's just kind of like eh.
They kind of bungled the same thing where it's like, what did you want to experience from Mario Kart?
Yes.
It's not virtually playing Mario Kart in an AR headset. It's being in a car and going fast, getting hit by a shell and going, whee!
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's feeling. It's not like the gamified.
That's what I've heard, is that it's not that the ride is bad, it's that the experience isn't what people want out of Mario Kart.
You
want
to go on Rainbow Road and go, woo!
As we all do when playing Mario Kart.
You didn't see guys, but I was waving my hands in the
air. She was waving,
And then low-key, I am the most excited to see the Isle of Berg.
Oh, that absolutely.
That looks fucking incredible.
It's mind-blowing how well they've nailed it. Guys, do yourself a favor. Watch the videos of people getting to meet Toothless.
Oh my God. I needed to put my little hand on his hand.
If I was 5 years old, I would
just piss myself.
Because I want to.
It is so realistic.
That's the thing, is I want to talk to you guys really quickly. A while back, Emma and I went to Disneyland with our cousins.
Yes.
And this was around the time that Boba Fett was coming back in The Mandalorian.
Yes.
And so they introduced him to the parks. I didn't know this. So I'm sitting at a table in Disneyland with our cousins' friends. My back is to where the character door is or whatever. So all of a sudden, Boba Fett shows up at our table and says some line that's like, oh, I told you to stay out of this sector or whatever. And for the smallest moment in my mind, I went, Boba Fett is real and he's here to kill me. That is the smallest, briefest
thought. Actually, like,
I got freaked out for a small second and then I realized what was happening.
That's called immersion, baby.
But for
that's
a moment,
immersive.
I was immersed. If I was a child and you took me to this theme park and then said, hey, do you want to go meet Toothless? He's right over there.
And you can fucking touch him, man.
I would lose my mind. I'd be like, oh my God, dragons have been real?
This thing is real. It looks fucking real. And it's...
Because it's not like going to meet Tigger and it's a guy in a Tigger suit. It's a literal freaking
and
dragon.
And it also makes noise. It's like, no, it's a real fucking...
And there's a guy pretending to be Jay Baruchel right next to him.
Okay, my two tweets about this, about Epic Universe, have all been related to this. I said, firstly, parentheses, complimentary, I go, this is a great example of a theme park realizing what would someone want to do that loves this property? They would want to meet Toothless. Real Toothless. Pet him, touch him, rub his little chin, and they built that out. And that's crazy. The other thing that sucks about Epic Universe is that this man is now locked into doing a Jay Baruchel impression.
He's pretty good at it, though. It's not bad.
I think he wakes up every day like, what does he say to get into character?
Oh, thank you for nothing, you worthless reptile. Da-da-da, we're dead.
It's truly crazy. But have you seen the little baby dragons?
Yeah, the ones that they use. They use the robot dogs.
Yes.
Which is crazy. And also kind of scary.
It's so fucking cute, guys. And also just upgrade the wing glider coaster is great. It's kind of like a slinky dog.
Yeah, I've heard that the water fire brigade thing is kind of whatever.
I don't think I've actually seen anybody go on that yet.
I don't know if I've seen anything of it, but I heard people talk about that. Like it's you know, it's like you shoot water or whatever.
Yeah.
The coaster is supposed to be kind of cool, yeah.
And it looks great. Really want to get there. And then the other one's Dark Universe, which is like...
Finally bring that around.
Remember when they were trying to relaunch the Epic Monsters universe?
Yeah, that's the Dark Universe.
About. These are all like the classic versions of the character. When they tried to make the Tom Cruise movie.
Yes, that's the Dark Universe.
And everyone
universe.
Said, no fucking thing.
No, Emma, that's the Dark... They launched it as the Dark Universe and they said, here's who everybody's going to be.
And then much like Fantastic Beasts, they said, never mind.
No, because the mummy was terrible. The only thing was that was good was that we got the pretty good Invisible Man remake with Elizabeth Moss,
oh, yeah,
I think.
Because
that was originally supposed to be something different. I think actually maybe Johnny Depp was supposed to be the Invisible Man.
Why is he everywhere? I don't remember. He's incredibly visible, man. He's in every
fucking
movie.
He's way too visible.
I love the theming in that land. It looks sick as fuck. I want to go to
I appreciate that they're doing something with it.
I want to go to like the Vampire Hunter Tavern.
They got a place for the goths.
I want to get blacked out in the
goths. But that's what I'm saying. That gives me Nevermore vibes.
It does. That tavern gave me big Evermore vibes.
Evermore.
Evermore.
Evermore. Whatever the Taylor Swift album is. Evermore.
I love that video. Jenny Nicholson's video.
Yeah. Well, that's just what it is.
But it does feel like Evermore, which is kind of like why I want to go. I feel like I'm going to fucking hate Monsters Unchained, even though everyone says it's like incredible. incredible and cool, but it's the same ride vehicle as Forbidden Journey that Arm.
Yeah, right. I remember people talking about
this. Where you're going like this and it's flipping you around. And it's just like, I think it's a lot of jump scares, which you know I don't like, where it's like you're flipping around and like bam, like Dracula's jumping out of you. They're like animatronics.
I thought I heard it wasn't like horrifying. Like it wasn't like
scary. I don't
scary.
Think it's like really scary, but I feel like it's going to be a lot of. I even really don't like the Dementor jump scare on Forbidden Journey. Like sometimes I close my eyes because
I think calling that a jump scare is generous. You can see it as you're approaching.
For me?
Although it'll be funny. I wonder if the Mummy's going to be on it because they already have the Mummy coaster at normal Universal. And so I wonder, and I mentioned this, I think, last time we talked about the Mummy coaster Universal is horrific. Like
Florida?
Florida.
I thought the Florida one was better than the Hollywood one.
It is, but it's a better ride, but it's because there's like more animatronics and shit.
Oh, it's like scary as
it's
fuck.
Scary.
I don't think I've ever been on it.
There's a part, I'll show you a video when we wrap, which, you know, to be fair, is more impressive than the Hollywood one where it's like a 5-second back and forth ride in the dark with like cardboard cutouts from a spooky haunted house. Yeah. Like
it's in Hollywood is a real shit.
I know it's fun, but it's nothing compared to that.
It's real lower lot energy. It's, yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, it's lower. It's a lower ceiling, yeah, I would lower. Say. Lower ceiling. And then the one in Florida just has a lot more actual integration with the movie where like there's on-ride footage of like Brendan Fraser and stuff.
That's
like,
what I'm looking for. I'm yeah, going to get some great. Dave
Frage. Yeah, no, it's good. Thank God they didn't replace him with Tom Cruise.
But I will say to Dark Universe's credit, it does look like it has the coolest like walk-around characters. Like the Invisible Man is walking around and there's like Bride of Frankenstein and like and those people look like they're really cool, like really talented and doing something really cool. I'm going to show you a clip after this of the walk-around characters in 1920s Wizarding Paris. That's a little bit tougher.
Is it a lot of glup shittos?
One of my favorite dudes.
I was wondering if you knew who that was.
Oh my god, that's cool.
Because you realize that's an actual become an actual term in Star Wars fandom.
The sad thing is, it's not even in 1920s Wizarding Paris, which I will be saying the full thing every time. It is not actually glup shittos because there aren't actually like enough.
There's no glups to shit.
None of the characters, like in that movie, like there's nobody that even has any staying power. So they're just like, I'm a random French woman. And this other one's talking in a transatlantic and she goes, I'm from Ilvermorny, the American School for Magic. And it's like, who the fuck are you? They're inventing people for the part because the characters are not memorable and nobody gives a shit.
Right.
So they are just random students. And there's a random Hogwarts student, even though we're in Paris.
I guess he's on vacation. Spring break, maybe.
It's. I wish it was glup shittos. I wish we were in a place of glup shittos. We're not even there. But yeah, that's my take on Epic Universe. The only other thing I want to update was I probably went up finally after many long-awaited went on Princess Tati's Bayou Dip at Disneyland.
Why you insist on calling it that every time?
It's better than Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Princess Tati's Bayou Dip.
I have also been on Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and it's fine.
Yeah,
it's mid.
And we're saying that because we're white supremacists.
Why? Why would you go that far?
Because
it's not even funny.
Because we live in a hell where, like, if you say anything bad about this ride now, because these
people... Is that a thing?
But because the people were so annoying, the people that were, like, waging a Twitter war campaign to keep it Splash Mountain, which was stupid.
Yeah, those people.
Because those
people, I wanted this to happen. No, I just wanted the ride to be better.
But now it's like, now if I have any qualities, I'm like, I just want to be clear. We're not with those crazy people. The crazy, like, crazy white supremacists. I just don't want to be lumped in with them because I have, like, any valid criticisms of the fucking thing.
I mean, I wouldn't even necessarily say I have, like, criticisms, because I don't think there's anything that's actually bad. I just think it's kind of boring. Like, the story the ride is trying to tell isn't that interesting.
And finding critter musicians?
And the animatronics really aren't that impressive. It's whatever.
I will say when I went on it both times, I've only been on it twice. I had, like, the massive animatronic malfunction. So I'm hopeful, like, I know that the new stuff, it's always, like, creaky, so it's like, hopefully they iron it out.
I don't think we had any
of those. So I can't even, like, truly, like, give it a solid grade. Just like, but Tiana was in that frozen mode where it looks like she, like, saw a ghost at the very end. Not cool, but I like so much. I do like things about it. I love that you hear the music when you're in the little outdoor part and you can hear them play down in New Orleans. I'm like, I'm vibing. I like it up here. This is nice. And then I love hearing the music, like Almost There and stuff. I think the finale is well done because it's so packed with animatronics. You see Charlotte. I wish Charlotte was in more of the run.
Emma specific thing because that's one of Emma's favorite Disney characters of all time.
But I love how many animatronics are there. It's very like they did good. They did good there. And they haven't even to like top the riverboat thing at the end of Splash Mountain. But I wish a fucking song that I knew was playing at that point, not the original song for the ride, which is like good, but I just don't know it. Like it's not ingrained in my head the way the other songs are. But it's a fine song. And the only criticism I have of the ride, because I do think it's like you said, it's fine, it's serviceable, is what he said about it not feeling exciting and it being boring. And mine actually is not, I'm not even laying that on the story that they're telling, which I do think is like a little weird. We have our own theories for why they didn't just like do the story of the movie. Like, like, are they trying to stay away from the voodoo thing and the Dr. Facilier, or like why it's placed after the movie? I think a real criticism of the ride is like, why is Naveen barely in it? Like, that's crazy to me that like, you never see him until the very end. I'm like, he's the second lead of this film.
Yeah, but then you'd have to make two human-sized animatronics.
Oh, is it like because Mama Odie's small, that's easier?
I think so, genuinely, yeah.
And I love me some Mama Odie, don't get me wrong.
I like Mama Odie, but I like Naveen too. He's got a lot of personality.
I love Naveen. We all know that the best choice would be going up the hill, the friends on the other side. That is the clear shot there. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they did not do that. There's no facility in the ride.
Which, I do agree with you. I think it's probably like a voodoo thing, but I kind of want to be clear. I did kind of make me realize something, is that I'm not saying every ride should be like this, but I feel like you needed kind of a scary element.
That's what I'm saying. That's my criticism. Like, isn't this was podcast like not, the not, ride's criticism?
Not that Splash Mountain necessarily had that.
I'm not trying to crib podcast the ride's take because they have the same take. But I remember being a kid when you like are finally brave enough to like do Splash Mountain in Florida, like going up and those crows are laughing and it gets like fucking spooky and you're like going to the laughing place and they're like and like it is scary. Like it is not like things are jumping out at you scary, but it is ominous.
The anticipation builds
because you're like, you know it's coming. Yeah, and you're like,
this ride is a little too concerned with feeling like a fun whimsical adventure the whole time. And it's like, I think if you had a part where you kind of dip down
yep.
into being
and then
like,
you and then it's oh, no, at
you,
the end.
You took a wrong turn down the bayou or something like that.
You're lost. Oh yeah. Wait, maybe you don't even have to do the voodoo thing. It's like, oh my god, you're lost. Then like maybe Ray can guide you to the party or no, Ray's dead. Ray is dead.
Well, what I would have done is not even if you didn't want to pay like Keith David or whatever, is to just do like Facilier's shadow is still around because you know they're separate.
Yes.
And so like he's like following
and he diverts your path.
And then like as you're the drums come in from the other side.
Mama Odie's like, don't go that way.
I know, yeah, and then Mama Odie comes and gets you at the end.
And gets you to the party.
Yeah.
Because I think the thing of Splash is that when you build that ominous tension before the big drop, it makes the party at the end so much more rewarding because you were like, oh shit, I was scared, now I'm happy. And like you're right, when the emotion is the same the whole ride, it's just like party, fun, get to that party. And I also just think like the tunnel now, when you're going up, it's just like three fucking lights twirling. Like if you're gonna make it a party, like we should have like 400 fucking disco ball smoke. Something needs to be happening there way more than is because it just feels like they're not building tension and they're not making it like crazy. So like I don't know what the solve is here. I'm not really offering like this would make it better, but I think that is what it misses for me is like you're saying a change in emotion where it goes from fun to ooh, now I'm a little scary. And now, oh my god, it's fun again. The story could kind of be whatever, but I do think you need to do that to make the drop satisfying. We should scare kids again.
I'm not saying that you need to feel scared. I'm just saying
you should a little bit.
But you should. I'm just saying there should be a shift. It's what you're talking about. It's highs and lows.
Yeah, yeah.
Is you should be like, oh, this is fun. We're building in of the anticipation of meeting all these fun animal musicians or whatever. But there need to be a part where it's like, oh, what's this or whatever.
And where
then it's
are
like,
we?
Then so by then when you get back to the party, it feels rewarding.
Yes.
If you just stay flat the whole time, it's not as exciting.
And it gets what you're saying, where it gets boring.
Yeah.
You're kind of just like, all right, I guess it's like I'm just getting told a story, and it's like I guess it's a party.
Oh, and there's a drop, and I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's my only issues. With it. I also, like, do you get wetter? I got fucking destroyed on that.
I've heard people say that, but I couldn't tell you because I noticed that a lot of people, when they get off that ride, just throw away their poncho.
Yeah.
So I just waited by the exit and I was like, hey, you can throw that away? Can I borrow it? And they were like, yeah, sure.
Oh,
So people literally were just like going up to people in line being like, do you want this? I'm just gonna throw it away. So I just waited for one of those, got in and then got in a single rider. And then I did it so I didn't get super wet. And then on the way out, I walked through the line and was like, anyone poncho? And someone was like, yep, and I threw it to them. So I pre-planned.
I did not have that good sense. I was drenched when I went on it. Like, the little drops in the beginning got me bad.
Did you get your socks wet?
Yeah.
Oh, I took my socks off, put them in the back pocket.
God, you're smarter than me.
I only did it once, but I did it right.
But yeah, that's my thing. And I hope I wasn't too critical. I critique things because I love them.
Yeah. Emma, do you want to talk about what movie we're watching next month, how we got all that out of our systems?
No, I have no idea what movie we're watching next month.
I'm picking. Don't worry about it. Because it's supposed to be for January, which is my birthday. We're so behind, guys. We're so, so sorry. LA got lit on fire, and then Emma started a new job. Congrats, Emma.
Thanks. It's been busy.
Yeah, she's been really busy, but we appreciate her. But so I'm picking for my birthday. And so I decided to pick a movie that I have wanted to talk about since it came out. Because when it came out, I was so, so deep. deeply irrationally angry for how much I hated it. We're going to talk about the Kim Possible live action movie from 2019, 2020.
Piss me off.
It's so bad. They screwed it up so much. It's crazy.
No, Disney making something live action that shouldn't have been and making doing a bad job of it.
Emma, the way they mess it up is so bonkers.
I remember seeing Rufus and saying, no, thank you.
It's Emma, tip of the
iceberg. Whatever's happening over there, that's none of my business.
Tip of the iceberg.
Okay.
Tip of the iceberg. Emma, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm at Emma Stone Tyler on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. If you want to see my amazing scorching epic universe takes, those are mostly on Twitter.
From someone who's not going to the
Who has not been on a single fucking
ride. Yeah, we're talking a big game. We're probably not going to go to the epic universe for a while because it's going to be a madhouse for the first
year. I'm not probably going until next year, to be quite honest.
At the earliest.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at @wildfire_king, but most importantly, you can find us on Twitter at @dcomedypodcast. Give us a follow there so you know when new episodes are coming up, which is good to know when we haven't posted a normal episode in a while. And you can, of course, find us on, and when you're doing that, find us on the old iTunes or Spotify, Google Play, wherever you can rate and review us. If you do that, we would really, really appreciate it. It helps us out a lot. And of course, you should check out all the fine shows on audioentropy.com. There'll be one there you love. I guarantee it. Be sure to check out Teenagers with Attitude. I'm on that with increasing frequency lately, so give it a listen if you like Power Rangers or if you don't. But for now, thank you guys so much for bearing with us and listening to us ramble about weirdly named foods and theme parks for way too freaking long. But hey, if
I think it's the best episode,
yeah, you know, if you were not prepared for us to go off the rails a little bit, you clearly haven't listened to the show before. We'll see you next time. DCOMs forever.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Trust me, she wasn't abducted by aliens. We were together all last night in the mountains.
That's where they get you. Oh, I wonder if you've been tagged. Why don't we probe them and find out?
No, 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 don't probe them. No, 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 no probe.
Okay, we'll use the drill. That'll leave a scar.
Yeah.
No. That is not necessary, okay? I promise you, we have not been abducted by aliens.
That big appetite on top of the nausea? Now, you have either been abducted by aliens or you're pregnant.
Surprise!